Kingdom Come. Come on, begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
Reaction.
We're going to find the chick that threw us.
She threw us.
Is she still in there? Am I standing?
Everything is falling apart, and like birds are dying. I mean, birds are dying. And it's like hard, you know, to like wake up every day and know that like happening. And this bird was just like a symbol of that.
It's 5:30 in the morning. What the hell are you doing?
And then fun breaks loose all over the place as the 46th Annual Grammy Awards continues right here on CBS.
See the gigantic mountain of liquor in the other room?
I have not yet. No,
no,
I've not
investigated
the supplies for today's festivities.
They are plenty. They are a plenty. There's some good.
Would you say we have a plethora about
the say so, yes. I think Lightning's been gathering it up for a couple of weeks now.
He's so excited.
I'm not exactly sure why, but.
It's like we've never had a drink before.
Stops by a liquor store.
Everybody's going to get drunk. You have to drink. Start drinking now. Hey, Patrick's night.
And he'll be bringing like a bottle a day for the last couple of weeks.
He's been hoarding it.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you bring in your absinthe?
Oh, damn it.
Didn't. Oh, keeping the absinthe for yourself.
Yeah.
I see
how that works.
I completely forgot. I'm just happy to be here.
Why
is it was
that?
One of those mornings.
Oh, yeah?
Slept through the alarm, grabbed a shower. Yeah, I was running out the door. I did not think to
yeah.
bring the absinthe. Well, apparently we're in no shortage of alcohol.
Well,
this
that's
morning.
True, but absinthe is, you know.
Yeah, well, I yeah. humbly apologize. I'll bring it in another morning.
We should have, okay.
We'll have
how about tomorrow?
We'll have our own party.
We'll just continue it.
Who needs a holiday?
Yeah, Dave the King of Mexico could have brought in one of his 25 bottles, too. So.
That he
yes,
stole
he
from
could've.
Us previously.
But apparently he didn't do that either. But we don't need it, really. Because Lightning's been saving up for a year now.
Yes.
So. It is St. Patrick's Day. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:33. Today we're going
to... What's the date?
Monday the 17th of March. Pow, pow.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's the date. Today we're going to talk about Doto's house.
Yay.
Psycho Mike, Lightning, and was it...
That was
Moose.
It. Moose,
oh,
Moose went too.
Moose, I knew it was someone else. Yeah. Went to Doto's house. And Doto scares us a bit because he's claiming to have a gun.
Yeah. He's been writing Mike every week about his gun and practicing.
Mike will come in and go, "You'll never believe I have to read you this email word for word, just like Doto wrote it." And he'll read it and we'll all go, "Oh, no. Yeah.
I have gun bother you, it does."
He's Yoda. He's a retarded
like
Yoda.
Yes, yeah. Concerned are you about my gun now, should you be?
So Psycho Mike and Lightning decided to go over to his house and look for it. And we're going to find out how that went just after 6 o'clock this morning.
They tossed his pad, as they say in the cop lingo.
They did. You went through every single part of his house, right?
Yeah.
Drawers, no closets.
No matter how much that upset Doto, I looked everywhere. I was going to find this.
So he was getting more drawers.
So his mom, by the way, he lives in his kind of his own place with his little retard handler, I think. Right?
Yeah.
The dude,
yeah.
The white dude that's sitting over there?
Listen.
Was it his retard handler?
Listen, there's a lot of open-ended questions after being at Doto's house, and yeah. It's just, all I got to say is I'm way more scared now than I was before.
Well, he lives in a natural tarred habitat they set up for him from the National Geographic Society, I think. And so he's a free-range tarred.
Really?
He's raised in what is a replica of what would be his natural environment. And they just have a keeper there, you know, to clean the cage and to feed him and stuff.
But is there a cage?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. And it's locked.
Got to have Doto in a cage.
Right? I mean, he's not coming after us today or anything. I mean, because of stupid Mike.
I hope not. But if he does, we've got plenty of alcohol to sterilize our wounds.
Oh, I thought you were going to say to give to him.
Oh, no.
To settle down.
You don't want to give a tarred alcohol.
I'm not pouring alcohol in my wounds, dude. That's kind of a waste of alcohol.
Is that a euphemism?
Yeah. I mean, you don't really want to do that.
So it's a special episode of Cribs, I believe, with Doto.
Yes.
That's what we're doing today.
Doto's Crib?
Yeah.
On today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Amazing.
That's all I care about. We should play that every break between now and the end of
that
the
is going to be pretty strong.
Just put it on a loop.
We're also going to talk about the drunkest you've ever been. because...
Give me about 3 hours.
Really?
You plan on that for the end of the show.
You plan on setting that record today?
Well, I am Irish, and it is St. Patrick's Day.
That is true.
I have an obligation to my people.
Yeah. You know how Cinco de Mayo is a bigger deal here than it is in Mexico?
Yes.
Not St. Patrick's
Day.
Not
the case in Ireland.
No, you go to Ireland on St. Patrick's Day, it is 100 times the celebration than it is here.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
It's like Mardi Gras on steroids.
It is, yeah. They have a giant parade. All the kids come out. Every single person in Ireland goes out to the parade. And then the drinking starts at about 5, and then they just go crazy.
And nobody gets drunker than the kids, by the way.
That's true. Oh. They drink like crazy.
Those little rugrats, boy, they can put it back.
So we got that coming up. We're also going to tell you about Spring Break with Pennywise today.
Oh.
Your chance to do that. Spring Break with Pennywise. That's going to be very cool. We're going to do that at about 7:15. Bad Religion will be here to perform live.
What?
Yep.
How about that? They have been recording music since, is it 1981? 80?
I found out last night that they were first played on K-Rock in 1981. Rodney Bingenheimer played them. He broke them.
All
in
right. Bad Religion.
Did you talk to Rodney Bingenheimer?
Yes.
Really?
I talked to him about that.
Yeah, yes.
Bad Religion.
And?
Bad Religion is not good. It's very bad.
And he told me about how he gave them a cassette. As he was coming in to do his show, and
he gave them a cassette. He ended up playing it anyway. That's cool.
Bad Religion gave him a cassette in the parking lot of K Rock at the old building in Pasadena. And by the time they got back to their car, he was already playing it.
No kidding.
He didn't listen to it.
Man of no discerning nature whatsoever.
He admitted it on the air. He's like, I didn't really listen to it. I was like, yeah, they seemed like nice guys. So he just pressed play. And that was the beginning of Bad Religion.
Tight trousers. I liked it.
Everybody gives him such credit for being a genius through all
this.
Years.
Wonderful ear, discovering all these great bands. Who
knew?
He
didn't pre-listen to it at all.
That's what he told me.
Just put it on.
Yeah. And I tried to push him to get him to say more kick-ass quotes. And I was just like rambling and rambling with him. I was like, hey, Rodney, we're doing... we're going to give away a kick-ass spring break on the Kevin and Bean show this week. What are you doing for spring break? And he's like, oh, nothing much. Hang out. You think about going on vacation? No. I was like, yeah, okay, give me something.
Maybe he realizes now you trap him into things for us to use here on the morning show.
I think so. He was really tight-lipped last night.
Was he?
I mean, he's old, but he's not an idiot.
Get up his drink my milkshake, because I think that may have been your last moment where he actually talked to you. I mean, I don't think, after you got him to say this.
I drink your milkshake.
I'm guessing he realized you were the enemy.
And that was a journey to get to that.
Oh, I know. It's like you got the super hot chick and you don't have anything to say to her. You know it's bad radio, but you just have to say, what's your favorite color? Anything just to keep them there
keep
them talking.
Why is the dollar doing so poorly? Things like that did you
no,
ask
you'd never say that.
No,
that's
no,
ridiculous.
Say that.
And LaQuisha will be here talking about That's Amore.
Oh, good.
A little bit later on this morning. So that's all coming up today. We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beatnik. Doto's Crib coming up just after top of the hour. And it's, wow.
It's a little screening in the other room.
Wow.
Guaranteed to be entertaining.
Wow. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Erin Gobrah, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all my fellow Irishmen out there in the listening audience. The powers that be here at K-Rock put the kibosh on any sort of St. Patrick's Day celebration, so I just want to say F them, and I am not going to not drink just because I'm at work. If you think that was your little plan, Mr. Weatherby, ha!
What's in the coffee cup over there,
Ralph? Fool on you! This is heroin.
In liquid form?
It's a coffee cup full of heroin with a codeine chaser.
Nice.
So, wow. Things are going already. You know, I just wanted to touch a base on St. Patrick's Day a little bit because, as I said, we're not doing a big thing because the management here.
We tried.
We really did.
We said we're ready. We got a place. We're going to do it.
We got a plan. Yeah.
No. No, you guys are going to stay here and just work in your little slave shop. So,
that's what this is.
I wanted to talk about St. Patrick's Day and, you know, give props to St. Pat, who died on this day in 461.
I miss
him terribly.
Yeah.
The actual date of his death is uncertain. They thought it was either March the 8th or 9th. There was a big battle about which day he died on.
Mm-hmm.
So church officials compromised by adding the two dates, and that's why we get March 17th.
Is that true?
It's very true.
That's retarded.
Is it the 8th? No, it's the 9th. It's the 8th. It's the 9th. All right, we'll compromise. We'll add the dates together and make it the 17th.
That the way day nobody's that we know happy. For sure he didn't die.
And he absolutely didn't die on
nowhere
that
near.
Day.
All right.
So St. Patrick, of course, was sent from England to Ireland to take the heathens that lived there and make them all Catholic and guilty. And he did a wonderful job. So.
And just before St. Patrick died, he said,
this is a mess.
I think he did.
People don't realize that.
He brought booze to the masses. The Irish used to be the most cultured, civilized people in the world until he brought them booze.
Yeah.
You know why God created booze?
No.
Keep the Irish from taking over the world.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
They would have otherwise.
Top 10 things, what being Irish means. I found this on the internet.
Okay.
Number 10, you spent a good portion of your childhood kneeling.
Sure.
True.
Oh.
In church, of course.
Sure, of course.
You've never hit your head on a ceiling. It's true. The Irish are not a tall people. Much of your food was boiled. That's
yeah.
true. Number 8. Number 7, there isn't a huge difference between losing your temper and killing someone. That is absolutely true. You are very good at playing a lot of very bad golf. That's also true. You have no idea how to make a long story short. Psycho Mike, I didn't know you were Irish.
Yeah.
You think you sing very well. Number 4, that's true. At least one of your cousins holds a political office. Number 2, you swear very well, that's for sure.
Oh,
and number
yeah.
1, you will never play professional basketball, and that's
yeah.
I guess for Kevin McHale, he was the one exception. So.
All of those pretty true.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Horton, here's a mother effing who?
Kids.
How much?
$45 million this weekend.
Damn.
I was guessing around 30, 35. I thought that was being generous, but just crushed this weekend
wow.
at the box office. The distant second was 10,000 BC. People sure love their saber-toothed tigers. $16.4 million made it number 2. Never mother effing back down.
Yes, when Ralph says don't go.
Came in at number 3.
How wait. Much?
$8 million.
Oh, that's not too
much. It's not too much. Everybody
it
else
didn't cost
to see.
Much, though, I bet.
Well, I'm sure.
Lisa, you don't know because
yes.
Jake and Baja, when they go to this big party,
yeah.
it's in a big house. There's about 4,000 people wearing bikinis there. That must be expensive.
Sure.
Road Trip was number 4. Road Trip? Where's this list from?
Is that College Road Trip?
College Road Trip.
Oh, that must be what they're
yeah.
talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vantage Point was number 5. The Bank Job, a movie I highly recommend. Not nearly enough people have seen. It's number 6 at the box office. Then Doomsday. Semi-Pro, The Other Boleyn Girl, and The Spiderwick Chronicles, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
The Other Boleyn Girl, that's still hanging in there.
I saw that
Did
over
you?
The weekend, yeah.
Is it good?
The ladies love
the
costume dramas of the 16th century.
Absolutely.
Very romantic.
Scarlett Johansson,
very
hot.
British.
Hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Today's the day that a British judge is scheduled to hand down the decision in the Paul McCartney-Heather Mills divorce case.
Excellent.
Really?
The London Evening Standard has reported that Mills and McCartney have accepted a settlement proposed by the judge of $50 million to Heather.
My God.
Significantly less than she asked for, yet significantly more than any of us will ever see in our lifetime.
Way more than she deserves.
That is more than some small countries have in a
$50 million
it's
gross
more
national
than you
product.
Would ever, 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 ever need.
Yeah, I know.
Ever.
That's the point.
Breaks
I know.
Down
it's
about
really
12.5 million per year of marriage.
She better have been good.
Not a bad job if you can get it. They also have a daughter together, of course, 4-year-old Beatrice, so she'll be well taken care of. And
it's almost 15 mil a leg, a limb.
Oh, God.
15, 45.
Yeah. Almost.
Yeah. Almost.
A little
yeah.
more, maybe.
Almost, yeah. You ever seen the video all over the internet of Tom Cruise's birthday party?
Yeah.
No, I have not.
Oh, yeah.
Thrown for him by the Scientology folk?
No, tell me.
Party happens aboard the Scientology cruise ship. I didn't realize they had a cruise ship.
I have heard about this ship.
But the Free Wind is called. The Free Wind.
Okay.
The Free Wind. The party allegedly cost $100,000.
Wow.
Apparently, it's not too much to spend on Tom, who is the second highest ranking member of the pseudo religion. But you can go to Gawker.com for the video. It's very interesting.
It's good to know where all your money's going to.
Party hard. Yeah, I'm glad we give them tax exempt status.
Yeah, that's great. I was in Phoenix over the weekend, and I came on just a random corner, and there were all of those people that were boycotting Scientology.
Yeah, this weekend, they had another event. Yeah.
Is that the anonymous people?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Anonymous. It was a birthday party. It was for Tom.
Oh,
that they threw
I
all
see.
Over the country.
They were all like on four corners of one intersection, and there were probably 50 of them.
Wow.
It was really weird. Hold up signs. I don't know how it helps to honk if Scientology is bad. Every once I'd hear someone go, eh. Okay, wow. It's accomplishing a lot.
Honk if you don't like Xenu. And poor Dawn Wells, who played Marianne on Gilligan's Island.
Oh, yeah.
Things are going from bad to worse for little Dawn.
We didn't have much time for this story last week, but she was busted with the weed.
She was, and she had the greatest story ever for the cops when they pulled her over, saying hitchhikers left it behind.
Right.
I'm going to use that every time I get an opportunity.
Because
there's a body in your trunk. Did you know that, sir? Yes, officer. hitchhikers left it there.
But it's only weed.
Turns out, Marianne from Gilligan's Island not only got busted for pot, although she did plea it down to a reckless driving bust, but she lost her gig with the Girl Scouts of America.
Was that the only gig she had?
Yeah, look, I'm sure Dawn Wells isn't in high demand these days, but occasionally she gets speaking engagement, personal appearance fees, and that kind of stuff, and she was previously booked to speak at an upcoming Girl Scouts luncheon. But a spokesperson for the Scout said, we didn't feel it was appropriate for her to speak under the circumstances.
Like
Girl Scouts aren't getting freaking stoned every day.
But it's only weed.
Why do you think they have those amazing cookies?
Yeah, good point.
Think they got those just for snack time? No, it's when they get the munchies, they break out the Thin Mints.
They need to come up with a new flavor now based on that.
Oh, Thin Mints. And Kimora Lee Simmons is denying rumors that she is pregnant with boyfriend Jamin Hunsu. Apparently, she tells People magazine that although she's a lot of fodder for the tabloids, it's all lies upon lies upon lies, she claims, and says that she is not pregnant. Jamin Hunsu, by the way, double Oscar-nominated actor.
Yeah, I know.
Never back down and dating Kimora Lee Simmons. What has happened to this dude?
His life's falling apart at an amazing rate.
An intervention. We got to step up and help this brother.
I do not be dating Kimora Lee Simmons anymore. Never back down. If you fight outside my gym, you can never come back. Except this time. I'll give you one example.
And this is cool. Christian Slater is going to have his first TV series ever.
Ooh. Really?
Coming to TV. You know, a lot of movie stars that maybe aren't movie stars anymore now are turning to television.
It's not considered as prestigious, right? As movies?
It doesn't nearly have the stigma that it used to. It used to be if you were in films, you would never do television. And people who were TV stars almost never broke over into film. But now people are going both sides of the street.
Like
doesn't really
Minnie Driver and Glenn Close, they're both movie stars.
Exactly, Lisa.
Sure.
Christian Slater has got his first TV series in the works for NBC, according to insiders. It sounds like a pretty interesting concept. It's a combination of The Bourne Identity and Jekyll and Hyde, about a mild-mannered suburban dad who finds out that he has an alter ego as an espionage agent. But he doesn't remember what he does when he's on a mission. The government has tweaked his brain.
So they
send him out on a mission with a code word or something. He flips over into that personality. Then he goes back to his real life, but has no idea that he's living this double life and then discovers it.
Interesting.
This story based on Kevin, who has no idea he's done a radio show at 10:25 a.m.
How dare you, sir?
I'm also an agent of espionage.
Yes, you are.
Pay money to see that.
Yeah. How dare you?
Well, you know how quick he is on his feet. He's at some embassy dinner in a tuxedo with a martini and a Walther PPK, and he's like, you go now, steal microfilm long time, go.
Corinne Bale-Ray. Yeah. An unforgettable moment.
All right.
He doesn't even...
An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bale-Ray. Wow.
He doesn't even need to memorize any documents or, you know, anything. He's got all in that steel trap.
Too many papers.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Let's see who was born on St. Patrick's Day, shall we? Patrick Duffy.
Oh.
The Irish actor from Dallas who played Patrick Ewing on that show. No,
so
not Patrick
Patricks.
Ewing. That was a big black basketball player.
Very different.
J.R.
No, J.R. was Larry Hagman. This was Bobby. The youngest Ewing boy. He is 59 years old today. Actor Kurt Russell turns 57. Actor Gary Sinise. I don't know if you guys watched that CSI New York, but he's really good on that show.
No, but I like him.
53 years old today. Rob Lowe turns 44. Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins turns 41 years old. Actor Matthew St. Patrick.
Come on.
How appropriate is that name?
Terry.
He was the burly black cop, gay, who was going out with the other gay dude on 6 Feet Under.
Oh,
remember their relationship?
Like that.
Oh, yeah.
He's 40 years old today.
He's burly gay?
He's burly, burly black and gay.
Nice. Okay.
You can also see him currently in Sleepwalking, the new Charlize Theron movie.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
in there.
Seen it, yeah.
Got a good role in that. Carolyn Corr of The Corrs. Talk about your Irish
bands.
She is 35 years old. She's the drummer with that group. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Let's talk about Doto Cribs. Because Doto started emailing us a while back and said that he had a gun, and that scared us. He's our little friend with the FWI. He travels a lot. International man of mystery. And has a bit of a complex about people out to get him. a bit.
Oh, yeah.
So when we heard he had a gun and we heard he was talking about going to a shooting range and all this kind of stuff, we said, there's no possible way you could have a gun that's a permit, right? No way. Yeah, why not? Why not? Why not? So we decided to go over to his house and look for the gun just to be safe. Psycho Mike?
Yep.
You can pick it up from here. Tell us about Doto Cribs.
Lightning Scorsese, who is excellent at making these little videos, said, we are going to go over there and we're going to investigate Doto's house because we need to find out what's going on with him. Because he's really secretive. He's a real secretive guy in general. He doesn't like to answer any questions about his personal life at all.
Yeah, and anytime he emails us, it brings up more questions than answers. We go, wait a minute, what do you mean by that? Well, right. What did you mean by that?
Right, exactly. So we went over there with the cameras, and we pretty much did like they do on MTV Cribs. We went in there and explored the house and got, you know, the behind the scenes of Doto and his life and filmed it.
And, was it Beverly Hills? Is that where it was?
Gosh. I'm going to say Malibu. Like... Wait, no. Now that I think about it, Westminster.
Westminster. Yeah, okay.
So we get to Doto's house in Westminster, and we arrive at the door, and this is how Doto welcomes us.
Welcome to my house, my kitchen, my living room, and my family room. And I want to make it in show business.
Yes.
Oh. Right out of the
yes.
gate.
Yes. Well, he gave you the exhaustive tour, and I think that's good.
That was not edited. That was right out of the gate. Thank you, Doe.
I need to make it in show business.
So, as with every good episode of Cribs on MTV, not only do you see the house, you got to see the whips. You got to see the rides.
Sure.
You know, people need to travel in style. So, I said, Doto, tell me about your car.
This is your car, Doe?
Yes, sir.
Tell me a little bit about it.
2003.
Now...
We don't have time for that kind of detail.
Just the exhaustive detail that he went into. I know I'm a little long-winded, but my God, he was just wearing me out.
He wouldn't shut up about it.
So we go. You would think Doto, he's always traveling. I mean, he's gone constantly.
He's gone
we call
all
him.
The
he's
time.
Like, I'm in Singapore. I'm in Tokyo. I'm in, you know, Hong Kong.
And that's because his dad travels, right, for his business?
I didn't want to get into that. There was just too much info to get in. So I wanted to concentrate on the big stuff. But with a guy who travels that much and goes to such exotic places, you would think his house would be filled with antiquities.
Sure,
you
buy stuff
rent,
everywhere you
just
go.
Just amazing things to look at. It was worse than a dorm room. I mean, it was so barren and totally undecorated.
Is it because he's never there? You know, he seems to be home like 2 weeks a year.
I don't know why, but it almost looked like it was as if you were trying not to. You just bought the house a week ago.
I mean, is it just like a couch and a table with a lamp in the living room?
No, it's not like bachelor pad barren. I mean, it's like minimalist. Like I'm going out of my way to make sure nothing gets on my walls. I own no lamps type.
There's no personal touches
right,
in the place.
Exactly.
Interesting.
It looked like a Motel 6.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Okay.
So I said, Doe, give me a... Give me some insight on your decorating style.
Doto, this seems to be the most highly decorated room in the house.
I wouldn't consider it to be highly decorated. I would consider it to be moderate decorated.
Where do you pick up most of the stuff that I see in this room?
Hong Kong, why?
I was just curious.
Yeah.
I was thinking about maybe updating my apartment and, you know, some tips from the Doe.
You should have a party, man.
I should have a party.
Yeah.
I should have a party. That's a good point.
You should have a party, man.
Should have a party, man.
What, people bring furniture?
Doto was a king of the relevant points.
He seems to be very much on the defensive. Like, he knows, like he's hiding something, or I don't know, he's Hong Kong, why?
Yeah.
I don't think he has a lot of guests.
Right.
And I definitely think that he is hiding something. I mean, he's definitely got something going on in his life that he doesn't want... A lot of people to know
a
about.
A lot of that.
And everywhere we went, like, Ask Lightning, man, it was just this really uncomfortable vibe, and he definitely didn't want us there, but we were going to make sure that we got, you know, the full behind the scenes.
Sure.
He's got this huge TV. I mean, this monstrous, like, flat screen TV and, like, 18 VCRs and DVD players hooked up to it. Like, all
really?
These. So I'm like, hey, Doe, you know... You can bring the ladies home. This is the one thing you have to show off is your cool entertainment center. What do you get to get the ladies going? What do you put on?
Would you guess he's ever had a lady in there?
No.
What are some of your favorites to really get the ladies loose and going?
Maybe some Playboy television.
Oh, we go straight for the softcore, huh?
Maybe.
Attaboy. You're all business.
I need some babes, too.
While he's putting in the order.
Yeah. He wants you to provide him with the babes as well.
He was upset that I didn't arrive with the babes.
Yeah.
This was the part of the investigation where it got really scary. I'm not kidding. It got really scary. I start just randomly going through stuff in his house. Okay, I'm going through every drawer, every cupboard.
Does he know that you're looking for the gun at this point?
I don't think so. I think
you didn't remember that.
I think he just thought we wanted to look through his stuff, and he hated that. He was evidently really defensive, like I said, and very private. So I started just opening cupboards and stuff. That was flipping them out. So when I got to this cupboard that was about, you know, 10, 15 feet off the ground, I had to kind of like step on the counter to get to it. There was like an air conditioning vent, and that was all that was inside this cupboard.
Right.
And just for like a curiosity's sake, I reached behind, and there's a bag, this generic bag, this kind of like a Save-On shopping bag.
It was hidden behind?
And I feel like some tools inside it, and I open it up, and there's two knives in there. Two random knives.
Now, hidden on behind the vent.
I've already looked through his silverware. He has his knives and steak knives and a cutlery in one drawer. But there's two random knives in a bag behind an air conditioning vent well up off the ground.
Well, that seems bad.
And seems like evidence.
It seems like I kind of need to know what's up with that, right?
Yeah.
No one gives more inadequate explanations for stuff than Doto.
We've got some eggs. What are in these bags here? It looks like you're hiding something.
It's not.
It's not? You mind if we go through these?
No.
Why would you be hiding something in a nondescript bag? What is this here?
Nothing.
Why'd you tuck away some knives behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, look, seriously.
That's not mine, man.
You don't know whose that is? Just randomly in your house?
Yeah.
It's not mine.
Like, that doesn't work, right?
Who else lives there?
That's not a good enough explanation when it comes to knives.
No!
He didn't say when you pulled him out, oh, what's that? He was like, no.
Right. Yeah.
What are these?
Oh,
what
are these?
Not mine.
These look like knives. It's not.
It's not.
What does that mean?
Okay, must be a mirage. I'm dreaming this up.
So you didn't get any more info out of him about the knives?
No, and he was giving me the look of, let's move on, or your guys are getting kicked out right now. So I said, look, for the sake of the bit, I'm just going to pretend like I didn't see that.
Wow.
I didn't have a lot of regrets about doing what I did there. This was one of them. I'm in Doto's bedroom. Doto's bedroom, okay? He's a man. He lives by himself. Well, he lives with his sister, but he doesn't have a wife or a girlfriend that sleeps with him in his bedroom.
Right.
But I discover 300 pair of women's panties neatly folded right next to his bed in a drawer.
In his bedroom?
Yeah.
And there, it wasn't his sister's bedroom.
No, this was his bedroom. And
is he one of those guys that goes out and breaks into houses and steals panties or something?
I would not be surprised.
300 pair?
I don't know. But that many pair of panties neatly tucked away in a drawer right next to your bed. Again, I need some explanation.
Does he wear panties?
We'll see.
Joe?
What?
This is your bedroom, right?
Yeah.
Why did I just stumble upon a collection of hundreds of pairs of women's panties?
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on a second. What do you mean I don't know what the hell you're talking about?
Again, that's a little bit insufficient as far as giving me the details behind
something. And you pulled out a pair of panties, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it was clear what you were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even understand these words that are coming out of your mouth. What does that mean?
This is our version of there's no goat in
this
room.
What the hell?
Joe?
What?
This is your bedroom, right?
Yeah.
Why did I just stumble upon a collection of hundreds of pairs of women's panties?
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
Hey!
I am Doto's panty head.
Mike puts a pair of panties on his face, on his head.
Nice.
I am Doto's panty head. I wear panties.
Hey!
Doto's panty.
Now Joe is trying to reach over and pull Mike off the bed and get the panties off his head.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want his mom's panties treated like that. Or
do
something.
I don't know.
I
think so.
Doto's panties. Doto's mama's panties on my face.
Did you get any kind of testing done over the weekend?
No, but my face was all itchy. It could have just been like placebo effect.
Yeah, sure.
But I was driving home and I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if I should have put the crotch region of panties on my face, like random panties.
Jeez.
Doto, not a big fan of homosexuality.
Yeah, he's very uncomfortable with that. So Mike, of course, who's very, very comfortable with homosexuality, pushes his buttons a bit.
You know, speaking of parties, let me say you and I have a little private party right now.
Come on, Mike.
What?
No private parties.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet you there's a pretty cool party in your pants.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
Mike's got his arm around Doto, and Doto is sweating. He does not like that at all.
Do you figure if you push him this way, he'll finally produce the gun?
Here's a gun! Get out!
I don't know. It's just every answer is, I don't know what you're talking about,
right.
And no, that's not. I mean, like blatant, like ridiculous explanations for stuff. It's like the guy who has his wife walk in on him with another woman. She's like, how can you do this? And he's like, I'm not cheating. Well, what do you mean you're not? I'm looking at you with a girl. Explain this to me.
It makes your head explode.
So I just had to do whatever I could to try to get something out of Doto. So I force him to explain to us
what his shower is like. Like, give us the tour of his shower, which is the size of a broom closet.
I was going to say, it's maybe for a midget.
Yeah.
I know, it's really tiny.
And Doto's a big guy. Doto's like, yeah, you know, 6 foot five, no, 6 foot three plus. And he's got this teeny little shower. So it explained to us this shower, Doto. And my point the whole time was trying to maybe, you know, maybe think that maybe he could share a shower time with me. You know what I'm saying? Share,
oh, okay,
share a little shower time. He doesn't like that so much.
So you're in the shower right now, Doto?
I'm in the shower, Mike.
You know, I had a long day. I was thinking about taking a shower. Do you mind if I...
Shut up, Mike.
Do you mind if I just go ahead and get in with you?
Hey, 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 hey.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Watch me, buddy.
Don't... Come on, lube me up.
Doto's about reached his limit by this point. I mean,
yeah,
he's really mad. I've worn his mother's panties on my face. I've rubbed his leg while asked for a private pant party.
Yeah.
I've now taken my clothes off and gotten in the shower with
you
him.
You took your clothes
yeah,
off?
Yeah, I started to undress.
He did not like that either. He's
and,
not happy.
So I figure we don't have long here. This interview's about over. So I had to ask while I was there, Doe, why is it that you smell the way you do? Because for those of you who are not lucky enough to have met Doto, if you've ever been
or
to
kissed
Africa,
him on the mouth,
or kissed him on the mouth like I had,
like Mike did,
if you've ever been to Africa, you know, when you get off the plane, as soon as you get off the plane, Africa has a smell. It has its own smell, and that's what Doto's breath smells like all the time.
Oh.
And it's like emanating from his body and stuff. So I had to figure out what was going on with Doto and the odor.
Now, Doto, I got to admit, most people reserve the smell of feces for their bathrooms and their toilets. You happen to have it emanating out of every pore of your body. Why is that?
About what?
I'm just curious. Like, what'd you eat for breakfast?
What? Fruits, why?
Would that be the rare and cherished crap fruit?
Shut the f*** up, Mike.
So he's, wow. He's dead serious. He gets angry at that, and that was the end of it, and he kicked us out. And this is Doto screaming at Lightning and I as we were pushed into the street.
Get the f*** out of here! Boy, I'll call f***ing call the cops!
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I'll show them the knives.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll expose everything that's inside your house, you villain.
So what about the gun?
Never found it.
I don't think Doto
has a gun.
Do you
think it exists?
If it does, then he does the best job ever of hiding it. And
we know he's not a
gun. You looked
hider.
Everywhere he might have hidden it.
I flipped his mattress over. I looked through every cupboard, every drawer.
Wow.
So either that or he keeps it at his parents' house, as many estates that he has here throughout Southern California.
Oh, I hope he doesn't have a gun.
But all I know is that after being in Doto's house and going through every nook and cranny, I still have more questions than I did before I went in.
Well, he was just denying stuff to your face that was clearly just right there.
Yeah, it's the work of a true enigma.
And then he opened up the door and shouted,
I drank your milkshake.
Yes.
I want you to know that was the 40th take of that line. Lightning's like, listen to me. I drink your milkshake. Can you say those words in that order? I'm losing your milkshake.
All right, listen, the video is up if you'd like to see Doto's cribs.
I hear the video is even better.
The video is spectacular. You go to krock.com, Kevin and Bean, click on video,
okay,
and you can watch Psycho Mike and Lightning in Doto's house. And when the police come to us and say, did you guys think anything might be up? We're going to have to go, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to be those people that didn't see it coming.
When Irish eyes are smiling,
St. Patrick's
all
Day,
all the world seems bright and gay in the lilt of Irish laughter.
You going to sing the whole song, do you think?
Maybe. Depends on how many more Irish coffees I have.
We were talking last week about John Daly, the golfer. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's a famous golfer that drinks a lot. And his coach quit because he drinks too much.
He fired him.
Said, can't do this. Can't do this.
Didn't the coach fire him?
Well, yeah. I mean, he quit. He's not his coach anymore.
Oh, I see.
But because he drank too much.
Yeah.
And that might be a good theme for today's show, the drunkest that you've ever been. Hey, guys. Hey, Dave. What you got here?
Ah,
oh, good.
Making a mess.
Excellent.
Throw a little beer all over the console. Good idea.
That's good.
But Dave should call in.
Hang on a second.
For our next segment.
I just had a Bailey's and coffee.
Remember
I'm
having an
quite
Irish
delicious
coffee with Bushmills.
Remember when...
that's real booze.
Remember when Dave
Bailey's
was in Vegas and he got completely smashed off his ass and started walking catty corner across the street, the main strip there, and was yelling, it's okay, I'm a cop.
Well, he had a badge with him.
He had that fake badge that he got.
He bought at the gun range.
Yeah.
He was
out of it. And I've been drunk a few times in Vegas as well. It's so much easier to get drunk in Vegas because you don't have to drive.
Right.
So you can take a cab or whatever. You don't have to worry about it.
And there's a lot of booze there. That helps, too.
Turns out the booze is free-flowing.
Girls will just bring it to you for free.
Yeah.
We had several singles parties that I showed up for work at 5:30. Probably not in the best shape.
Not really even at 5:30.
No, not even close
to
5:30. That's true, yeah.
Yeah, you'd roll in around 7. We've been on the air for a couple hours. Usually just to pick a fight with a lawyer.
Pretty much.
How do you live with yourself? Your defense is to get people off of jail.
That's funny.
I believe it's better for, several guilty people to go free than one innocent man to go to jail. Wrong!
It's better for innocent persons to jail along with the guilty people.
Yeah.
Live yourself.
What's funny about that interview, because you guys always refer to it, is that I really don't remember it a whole lot.
Shocking!
I really just barely remember. I don't know who it was.
He was a
host of us or something.
He was a high-profile Las Vegas defense attorney who I think had written a book, I believe.
Ah, that's what it is.
About the legal system.
Oh, and he was defending the mob or something? I can't remember. Yeah.
How do you sleep at night?
But I didn't really say that. You're exaggerating.
That's exactly what you said, 100%.
But that's an exaggeration.
How do you live yourself? How do you sleep at night? This is guilty people free because of you.
I mean, he's looking at us like, this guy works with you? Really? Seriously? Did he just walk off the street or is he actually on the show?
No, on the show, unfortunately. Here's another clip of us in Vegas.
Kevin?
That song is over, and now we will speak. It's the Kevin and Beecher on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
Oh my.
This is a mess.
We will speak.
That song is over.
Remember when we did... Am I deaf? Remember when we did UCLA-USC and we did it from the campuses?
Who could forget?
Yeah, and I was on the campus of UCLA, and they had us drinking skillets.
They made you. You had no choice,
right?
What's
a skillet?
Well, it's a skillet.
It's a frying pan full of vodka.
Oh, yeah. My God.
That's what it is. They pour the vodka into a frying pan, and you have to drink it down.
Yeah, we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067, the drunkest you've ever been. That was probably the earliest that I've ever been really drunk, because I got there about 5, and by 5:30, I was already, buzzed, and I was, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And we had some business to take care of that day, too. We were having a scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
For tickets. I guess it was for Acoustic Christmas.
I think it was for Acoustic Christmas.
Yes.
And it was based on the famous 12 Days of Christmas song. And each of the different days of Christmas was a different clue of where you had to go to get the tickets. And this particular day, I believe it was 8 Maids of Milking.
Yes, yeah. And I had it written down in front of me in giant letters so I wouldn't screw it up. Is that what this moment with is?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
This is the 8th day, which means the theme is 8 milds a making. I'm sorry, 8 maids a milking. This is the 8th day. It means today's theme is 8 milds a.
Kevin!
I've got to stop drinking.
Come on.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Like, I wouldn't do that if I wasn't drunk, by the way.
8 milds a making.
All right, this is a mess. Let's say good morning to Matt in Yucaipa. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Matt.
Good morning, Matt.
Drunkest you've ever been?
All right. One night, got really drunk, drinking Dos Equis. I walked into my friend's kitchen and peed on the kitchen wall. Proceeded to walk in the living room. I tripped and fell face first through a glass coffee table.
Nice.
Oh no!
God.
Did you get hurt or were you lucky and drunk?
Not a scratch.
Yeah.
Not a scratch.
The drunk ones always get away.
They do, yeah. You're a little more, you're relaxed.
Yeah,
relaxed. My face can go through a glass table, I'm fine. Wow, that hurts. And all your friends still tell that story to this day?
It's a good story.
Good
yeah.
times. All right, Matt. Yeah. Thank you.
Dude needs a drinking helmet.
Best of luck today. Yeah, I didn't know they had drinking helmets.
Oh,
but
they do. For
if
guys
they
like
do,
you.
I need one. Yeah. We'll take your calls, 1-800-520-1067.
Yeah, remember that one year, that St. Patrick's Day, when Kevin got in the wrong car and he drove off? Then he realized halfway home that it wasn't his. Good time.
Yeah, that was made up. I just made that up.
No, you didn't.
I made it up to be funny.
No, you didn't.
I was just being funny. No. That's all it was. All right. Drunkest you've ever been. Let's begin with John in Anaheim Hills. Good morning, John.
Good morning. What's up, fellas?
Talking about St. Patrick's Day, the drunkest you've ever been.
The drunkest I've ever been. We were camping out in Glamis, California. Last I remember, I was sitting under the stars with my buddy, passed out in the chair, stood up, fell face first in the sand, right next to the fire. I'd say maybe an inch away from the fire. The fire was not what woke me up. What woke me up was I started drooling, and there was sand in my mouth. And I basically remember thinking, what am I doing with my life?
Really? That was your rock bottom for you?
The wake-up call?
Rock bottom was the sand all in my face. I get up, I stumble back to my tent. I get warm, I get cozy. I wake up the next morning when my buddies are waking up to go ride, and they're shuffling around the dirt bikes and stuff. And essentially, my arm was just torched, man. There was blisters up and down it.
So you
fell into the fire.
Your arm was close enough to the fire to get really bad burns, and that's not what woke you up.
That's not what woke me up.
Wow!
Didn't even know your arm was burned.
Wow!
My arm was burned. I just started screaming for my buddy Fish. I was like, Fish!
You know, there are a lot of people who have that pass out drunk level where, thank you for the call, we appreciate it, John, where they don't remember anything for a whole night or something.
Yeah.
I start throwing up before that point. I don't think I've ever really passed out.
Had a blackout?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's scary blackouts.
I don't remember the last 3 hours of my wedding.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I got back to the suite where we were staying after the wedding, and apparently all these people from the party came back to the suite to party with us, and I was having conversations with people, and I was doing things, and I don't remember any of it. I woke up the next morning, I looked around and said, this is a really nice suite. This is the first time I had seen it.
Right.
I was like, wow, this is a beautiful room. I was like, you were partying here for 4 hours last night. Woke up with a black eye. Don't know how I got it.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
So
good. I like that.
The best part of my wedding was missing. It's missing from my mind.
My God. Yeah.
Yes, Lightning. Kevin, it's funny that you say that you don't remember ever having blacked out.
I don't.
But Havasu at the big club there, right on the water, and I came across you huddled up in a corner in a little ball. After drinking two or three 44-ounce drinks.
Listen, I know that this is a story you tell.
Go ahead, Light.
Finish it, Lightning. Yes.
And you know, I'm like, Kevin, are you okay? Let's say, I've been looking for you for like 30 minutes. And he goes, I'm fine. And he's rocking back and forth. And he will not give me the drink. I tried it. He spills some of it on him. The next day.
Maybe that happened.
The next day, it's a manhunt. No, we think that he took a helicopter home. We can't find him. We don't know where he is.
A shallow grave somewhere?
He has no recollection of like 12 hours.
Oh,
wow.
My.
Yeah,
all right, I black out occasionally, but not that often. That's what I'm saying. Let's go to Matt at Canyon Lake. Thanks, Lightning. Don't need your input anymore. Matt, good morning.
Don't
good
need
morning,
the truth,
sir.
Kevin? That's what you don't need? The truth?
That's correct. Drunkest you've ever been, Matt?
I was at a casino, got way, way too drunk drinking with my friends, drinking whiskey.
In Vegas?
Oh, no, at a casino in California.
Okay.
Okay.
And I decided it would be a good idea to pee in the hallway, lock myself out of the bedroom with butt naked, no clothes on.
And by decided to, you mean you didn't realize it till it was too late?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And you're peeing in the hallway and you're naked.
Butt naked. I couldn't get back in my room for 45 minutes. I had to call downstairs, go to, because you know how they have the phones in the hallways?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had to call them. They were watching me on the security surveillance cameras.
I'd like to have that security tape, by the way. I'd love to watch that of you for 45 minutes.
They're still showing it at Christmas parties at the casino, trust me.
You know that's true.
I was going to go to sleep in the hallway, but I realized I was naked. People were walking by, and I was trying to act casual, like there was nothing going on.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, oh, that's exactly what I said.
Everything's fine. I know I'm naked. It's cool. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Matt.
God made us. What's your problem?
Thank you. Let's go to Allie in Simi Valley. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning. How you doing, guys?
Very good. Thank you.
How you doing? How you doing, Lisa May?
I'm good.
All right. My story is that about, like, I would say, like, 9 years ago in high school, and St. Patrick's Day, I got so drunk with my cousins and friends that I ended up making out with my first cousin.
Oh, good.
Nice.
What was his name?
Hey!
Was actually Delilah.
Was she hot?
Well, like everybody else would say she was hot, but she was my cousin, and I was really drunk. And
no, I know, but I'm saying, you know, until...
She is hot.
You
she
can
is
think
hot.
She's hot, but you have the sense to stay away from her until you're drinking, and then you go, wow, well, I thought she was hot. And then you...
No, she is hot. I would say that she is really hot.
Yeah.
And then my cousins were just taking pictures of us, and just because they were just enjoying it. And then one of my cousins started to be funny, and he told me that my uncle's coming over in like a minute.
So for some reason, I don't know, I thought it would be just a fantastic idea. If he saw me naked, then he would just excuse my action of making out with his daughter.
So you thought when you're
drunk logic. So,
when her father comes over, you thought, I need to be even more drunk than I am, so he buys it.
So, yeah. So, I was way drunk. So, for some reason, I just started taking off my clothes, and everybody just started laughing. Everybody's taking pictures of me. And then I passed out by the end of the day, and I woke up next day in the morning of my pictures being posted all around the house.
Excellent.
My cousin, and then naked. So.
Excellent. That's what your friends did the right thing.
Thumbs up.
You got to take the pictures, and you got to post them somewhere where everybody can laugh.
Must have been a hit at the family reunion.
Thank you, Allie, for the call. Let's go to Jason in West Covina. Good morning, Jason. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, guys. How you doing, Lisa?
Good.
Good.
Drunkest you've ever been?
Okay. Went to Vegas for my brother's wedding. Got tore up with my other brother. Went downstairs. We started playing craps. Not only did I lose the word.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Woke him up with vomit all over him.
Oh, you threw up on your parents.
Threw up on my parents, yeah.
Good times.
Oh,
you didn't give
Jason.
You didn't give a speech at your brother's wedding, did you?
No speech. I was too wasted to do that.
No, the reason I bring that up is because at Lightning's wedding,
yes.
His brother got up and grabbed the mic, and he was supposed to give a toast like you do, and his brother maybe he was a little bitter about Lightning's success and started saying,
Mom and Dad always liked you best.
And everybody was like, oh, no, it's that guy. You always got the best girls. And it should have been me.
It was horrifying.
We actually walked up and grabbed the microphone from him by force and said, okay,
thanks.
Who's next? Who's got something else to say? That might be a little too much. That was the best. Let's go to David. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Hello? We're looking for the drunkest you've ever been.
I'm all right.
David Hasselhoff?
Nope.
Oh, God.
David, what are you doing?
This is a mess.
You're drinking again?
Again? He never stops.
David?
Nope.
No one asked you a yes or no question. What did you just drink?
What are you drinking?
David?
Oh, not good.
God, help me.
David, you all right?
Nope. This is a mess. I'm not going to drink it anymore.
Really?
Yeah, we've heard that from you.
The worst, most time I was ever drunk, I was driving a car.
You were driving a car?
Yes.
That's bad.
And the car started. I thought the car was talking to me.
Right.
No, that's how drunk I was. I thought it was talking to
that
me.
Was a that was Knight Rider. That was a TV show.
Yeah.
Your car did talk to you.
What?
That was not you drinking. That was an actual TV show.
What?
Yeah. Were you drunk then too?
Oh, I wasn't that drunk.
Wait a minute. You thought all these years that you were drunk enough that the car was talking to you?
Yes. I thought I was a mess.
Well, you're a mess.
Yeah.
No, I'm okay.
No, not okay.
I can keep drinking.
No.
Because the car was talking.
Probably if anyone should stop it, maybe it would be you.
Nope. This is a mess.
Yeah, you should probably not drink anymore today. I know it's St. Patrick's.
I'm not going to drink anymore.
Okay, good.
I'm not going to drink.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
After this bottle of whiskey, I'm not going to drink
after an entire
anymore.
Bottle?
Yes, I'm not going to drink. That would be the end. I'll stop drinking.
Maybe you
then
should.
I won't drink anymore.
Right, but
after that,
maybe you should stop now.
I'll
though.
Be done after that.
Is what I'm saying. Maybe
then I'll be finished.
Right.
After I'm done drinking this,
and by finished you mean dead.
Then that will be the end,
David.
Average. Oh boy.
You all right?
This is a mess.
Maybe you should.
Oh, God.
Do we need to call the authorities or something? You all right? Yeah, maybe you should. I'm so drunk. You say.
You speak drunk.
What is that noise? What are you doing? Huh?
Is he throw up?
Oh, God, no. No.
No.
Stop. Please stop.
You sound like a prehistoric monster.
Huh? You feel better now.
Okay, well, good, I guess.
What?
Can't really make that out.
One more time.
Now I have more room.
Now you have more room. Good.
Excellent.
Because that's what you need.
To learn more about recycling and your personal impact, visit bottlesandcans.com.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
I was on bottlesandcans.com all weekend. That site's a party.
Different cans.
Woo!
You were looking at different cans.
Yeah. That's not the same one?
No, it was boobies and cans we're looking at.
All right. 6:56, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Paul McCartney, the Beatle.
Yeah.
Soon to give up some cash.
A lot of it.
Today's the day a British judge will decide how to hand down the decision in the bitter divorce case between Paul McCartney and Heather Mills. Nope, not yet.
Lisa, it sounds like for the first time you're not in favor of the woman taking everything the man has.
I despise her. And they've only been married a very short time.
4 years, Lisa.
Yeah, $50 million.
For 4 years of marriage, the London Evening Standard is reporting that they have accepted a deal where Paul will pay her $50 million.
That's just ridiculous.
$12.5 million per year for 4 years of marriage.
Wow, that's
however,
a lot.
Keep in mind, Paul has a net worth of $1.6 billion.
Oh my God!
So yeah. It may not be.
He can just write a check.
That much of a ding in his wallet.
Net worth.
Yeah.
Ugh.
This is what he has, liquid. $1.6 billion.
Oh. Wow.
So, you know,
and yet, does she deserve $50 million of it?
No. Of course not. But still, when you got $1.6 billion, you might not miss it as much as you or I would.
That's right.
We had to pay our wives $50 million.
You and I would be such a-holes if we had $1.6 billion liquid.
If I had $1.6 billion, I would just have her killed. Why even mess around? Who's gonna really come at you when you have that kind of money?
Yeah, true.
You could afford the best possible assassins and legal teams. They never get near you. She would just disappear. She'd go hopping off into the sunset. They never find her.
And I don't think anyone would mind, probably. No. I don't think anyone's on her side. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
By the way, as a side note, the highest amount ever awarded by a British divorce court was $96 million. To the ex-wife of a multi-million dollar businessman named John Charman. So this is up there, but still not the biggest for England. So there you go. Speaking of Paul, you know, he's one of the best known songwriters in history, right?
Well, his early years, yeah.
Yeah. And
certainly not talking about freedom.
Maybe that wasn't
his
best
work. He stole from a second grader.
The producers of the new James Bond movie went to Paul and asked him to write the theme song for this movie, because he did write one of the great Bond themes of all time, Live and Let Die.
Sure.
If you know that song, Guns N' Roses did a cover a few years back. One of the great Bond themes ever. And they asked him, would you write the theme song for this new Bond film? And he refused. He turned them down.
Because he can't write anymore.
Well, that, and he said, no one can find anything good that rhymes with the Quantum of Solace.
That's a horrible name.
The only thing I can think of to rhyme with that is the name Wallace. And I can't find any way to work that into a song. He said, so I will pass on the Quantum of Solace.
That's the real name. They're sticking with that.
That's what they're sticking with.
All right.
Quantum of Solace.
Game.
By the way, last night I went to see a show in Hollywood, a concert called Ruddlemania.
Oh, yeah.
This is Eric Idle years ago did a parody of the Beatles called The Ruddles. It was like a spoof on them, and they wrote all original music for this band. So they had a concert last night. The cast was there from the original TV show, but they had the Fab Four, which are these Beatle tribute artists. You know, they do the Beatles show. They're amazing. They look and sound just like them. But they had those guys playing The Ruddles. So you had a tribute band playing a parody band of the Beatles. It was like three times removed.
That's bizarre.
But it was a good time.
Were they playing Beatles songs?
No, they were playing Ruddle songs.
Oh,
they're
and
the Ruddle songs are all sort of takeoffs on Beatles songs. Like instead of Help, they have a song called Ouch. I mean, they're all like funny takes on Beatles songs, but they sound like the Beatles. So they had these guys playing the music. It was very, very
That's
funny.
Bizarre.
Very funny night. It's going to be playing this week, too. If you want to go Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, it's going to be at the Ricardo Montalban Theater. If you want to check it out, you can go to ticketweb.com. If you want to go, I just thought to give some heads up to some Monty Python and Beatle fans because it's very funny. This weekend's top movies at the box office, Horton Hears a Who.
Yes.
$45 million.
My God.
That's pretty good, turns out.
Yeah.
Why would you bother ever making a movie with live actors again when these animated films continually make just insane amounts of money?
Yeah.
10,000 BC was number two at the box office. Never Back Down, the MMA tour de force, was third at the box office.
Yes.
$8.6 million made it number three. College Road Trip was number four. Vantage Point 5, The Bank Job, which I enjoyed a lot. If you haven't seen it yet, it's number six at the box office. Doomsday was seven. Semi-Pro was eight. The Other Bolin Girl, number nine. And The Spiderwick Chronicles, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Halle Berry had her baby yesterday in Los Angeles. Mm. The 41-year-old actress is doing great, according to her husband, boyfriend. What is he?
I think boyfriend.
I think boyfriend, yeah.
Baby daddy. Model Gabriel Aubrey said they're fine. They're fine. Mom and baby are fine. And the child will take his last name.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So no word on yet on what the baby girl has been named, but...
Something bad.
Something bad, yeah.
She's a celebrity, you have to.
She will be the vessel for all black women in the future, too, apparently, because Halle Berry's her mom. And, you know, the circle of life must be complete, even on St. Patrick's Day. As we welcome Halle Berry's baby into the world, we must say goodbye to a legend.
Uh-oh.
Kurt Eberling Sr. has passed away.
I don't know who that is.
I don't either.
Sorry. Oh, nothing. He was just the man who invented SpaghettiOs, that's all.
Oh, that's pretty strong.
He gave us SpaghettiOs. Passed away at the age of 77 this weekend in Philadelphia. So our thoughts go out to the SpaghettiO family.
Isn't that the
I don't think they're named SpaghettiOs.
Oh, really?
No.
What?
The neat spaghetti you can eat with a spoon?
Lisa!
Wow.
Right?
Absolutely correct.
Nicely done.
SpaghettiOs. I used to love me some
How does anyone think of that at the beginning, by the way?
SpaghettiOs are rule. When you're a kid, SpaghettiOs rule.
Wait a minute.
They are crap.
But when you're a kid, you don't know that.
Yeah.
Isn't it the best? Oh, when you were a kid, you turned your nose up to SpaghettiOs.
You said, please, can you cook me a chicken breast?
Yes, give me some dried chicken breast with no oil and some steamed broccoli.
Thank you.
Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Oh, of course that rules.
We're not.
Macaroni and cheese isn't even comparable to SpaghettiOs.
They are clearly comparable. Price point and preparation time.
Price
clearly
point.
Comparable. Clearly comparable.
Time?
Clearly comparable and
freaking
and
manager
dominating.
At Albertsons.
I think they were both delicious.
They were both
I
delicious.
Shut up.
Should be put to death.
SpaghettiOs is like spaghetti with tomato sauce and everything. Macaroni and cheese. Is the whole different animal.
It's like funky mush with some ketchup on it. Weak sauce. I'm glad he's dead.
Oh.
Oh, my.
Well, that's how you're going
to
go.
I can't wait for you to be eating SpaghettiOs with Kurt. In the afterlife. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kurt Russell's 57 years old today. Gary Sinise turns 53. Rob Lowe turns 44. Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins is 41 years old today. And Melissa Ofdemar.
Ooh.
Also of the Pumpkins and of Hole. She is 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, let's talk about Rachel Ray.
Bitch!
Now, Rachel Ray is...
Oh, Omar.
She's got a cooking show, for those of you that haven't heard of her.
And a talk show.
And a talk show, right. And I hadn't really heard of her until Omar came in with all the hate. And I was like, who are you talking about? She's this peppy little chick that's way too happy. You don't believe it. But Omar has an unnatural hatred for her. I mean, it was
out of proportion.
He had a box of Wheat
Not
Thins.
Not even a little bit.
He had a box
Omar.
Of Wheat Thins with her picture on it and took them back to the grocery store and tried to get his money back because there was a picture of Rachel Ray on it.
Who would expend that kind of effort? I don't care if Hitler was on my Wheat Thins. I'm not taking it back
to the store. I'm taking Hitler back. You're not taking Hitler back?
Really?
No, it's a box of Wheat
Thins. Why do you hate the Jews, Lisa?
No kidding. Wow.
I didn't know Lisa supported Nazis.
That was a bad
example. Apparently.
Okay. No, but I agree that I've never done that in my life based on who's... A picture is on
I'm
a product.
Too lazy.
Ever Listen, in my life.
When you're as drugged up as Omar is, the littlest thing you start to obsess on and you focus on and you just lose all perspective.
What if Joan Rivers was on the cover of, your favorite whiskey?
Okay, well, okay.
Wouldn't that really piss you off?
On the cover of my favorite whiskey?
Or whatever, you know what I'm saying, on the label.
I would not drink that whiskey.
Okay.
But would
but
take
Joan
it back
Rivers
to
is a lot worse than Rachel Ray.
Oh, I don't know.
No. Same level.
Pretty much the same category.
No,
absolutely same level.
Rachel Ray much worse. Joan Rivers had in her life accomplished a lot and was at one time funny and talented.
Let me ask you this question, Omar. How did you focus on her so much? Because she's somebody who I was able to just move on. Did somebody else seek her out?
She's kind of hard to find.
Does somebody else like to watch it in your house? Or
You know what? It was just like, for some reason, I would see her like on Access Hollywood
and those type of shows.
And I would try to move on, but she would just, I couldn't.
But she'd come to your house?
Like, no. For you? You know what I'm saying? It was just like the whole peppiness, and I'd be like, what the hell? She never shows her real self, and just, And she, you know, the dumb way she would use acronyms for the simplest things.
Like what kind of stuff?
Extra virgin olive oil, she has to call EVOO because it takes so much energy to say extra virgin olive oil.
Yeah.
What is her deal?
Evu, Dad.
Evu. Shut up.
Come on, Daddy. Evu.
No.
So she pricked you one time and then it was over. You were drawn to her everywhere she was.
Absolutely. And then, you know, once you like notice somebody, you start seeing her everywhere.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Tabloids and stuff like that.
Absolutely. And then I just started freaking out and just like, it's totally super annoyed me. And then that's when she took my Weetins and I couldn't stand it.
She took your Weetins.
She took my Weetins, man.
Isn't she an Oprah protege? Is that where she comes from?
That's exactly where she comes from.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's hateable right there.
From the source of all things bad.
Yeah. So I single-handedly brought her down last week.
Tell us about the news you got last week on What to Do Nephew.
She's going to get canceled. Her show is
her talk
done.
Show?
Her talk show. Her daytime talk show. Apparently
it's
the ratings are pretty shabby.
Yeah.
And you
I'm not the only one that hates her. Everybody in America hates her.
Right, but you're crediting yourself with the cancellation of that show.
I'm not accrediting it. It's fact.
It's fact.
It's fact. I single-handedly, the TV gods, because I'm badass.
Oh, okay.
Are you rad?
No, that's Dave.
That's Dave.
Okay, I'm sorry. I can't figure out.
He's badass. Dave's
badass. Okay. Yeah, Dave's right. So, yeah, I single-handedly brought her down, so I just actually wanted to send her a little message in form of song.
Another song?
Another song.
Oh, is this, can I play it?
You could totally rock it.
All right.
This song goes out to Rachel Ray, that big fat fake whore. I close my eyes and see a hippo. You know the real reason they're canceling your show is because they can't afford to feed you anymore.
Oh, come on.
And I'm so glad you're going away.
Oh, it's nice.
Yay. Sometimes cooking's not that simple.
Oh, wait a minute. Yes, it is. All you have to do is follow the goddamn directions, you dumb bitch.
Sometimes goodbye's the only way. Oh.
How'd you get them to do this? Nice sentiment.
It's touching.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. F that bitch.
Wow, way to kick her when she's down.
That's all I'm saying, dude.
Didn't have any songs in your range?
Not even. Like, come on, seriously. Is there any song in my range?
Exactly.
That's a good point.
Daddy, why does Omar have a towel on his head?
Time to talk about Pennywise for a second.
Okay.
We are continuing to try and kill you, the K-Rock listener. This time we're going to send you on spring break with Pennywise.
Oh.
And good luck.
In Australia.
What?
By the way.
Oh, my God.
Crikey!
They are playing a sold-out show March 27th at the Key Club. And keep listening for your chance to win those tickets. That's your qualifying prize. You can see Pennywise at the Key Club.
Nice.
And then Friday, we're going to do a grand prize drawing. We're going to send somebody to Australia where you're going to get your own beach house during spring break. Oh. And you'll get tickets to see Pennywise.
Oh, oh my God.
That's too much, isn't
really?
It?
Really?
Say goodbye
are
to your
sure?
friends and family.
I mean, we're... Are we just trying to get rid of our listeners? Is that the point?
But what a way to go.
They're never going to come back.
On the beach in Australia?
Yep.
Just drinking those giant Foster oil cans? Just getting good and liquored?
To get your own beach house and tickets to see Pennywise, your chance to win is coming up very soon.
I'm the cute K-Rock Koala Bear, transmitting this message from a secret beach house down under where I've been kidnapped by Pennywise. If you don't come down here and save me, Fletcher's going to eat me alive.
K-Rock has no f***ing idea what they're getting into.
Listen all week and win tickets to see Pennywise, sold out at the Key Club.
I don't want to live there anymore.
hear your name Friday morning for a spring break party with Pennywise in Australia.
You'll get your own private beach house until Fletcher shows up and destroys it.
Good day, mates. It's Fletcher. I'm not dropping a good day.
And for dinner, koala burgers. Because we all eat them here in Australia. We love them.
Keep listening to win.
If you're a member of the Wake and Bake Club, which I know a lot of you are, mm-hmm. we just made the announcement a few minutes ago. K-Rock's sending you on spring break with Pennywise in Australia.
That is crazy.
So keep listening for your chance to qualify. We're going to give you tickets to see them play at the Key Club March 27th, which is sold out. And that's the qualifying prize. And then on Friday, we're going to send somebody to Australia, and they're going to spend time in their own beach house during spring break, and they're going to go see Pennywise.
That's koala-fi, by the way.
Huh?
Qualify, koala-fi.
Koala-fi.
See what I did?
Lisa.
How do you do it? All right, 7:35. Let's check back in with an old friend. He's got a satellite radio show, Bob Dylan's Theme Time Radio Hour.
Bob.
Been a long time since we talked to Bob. We thought we would check in with him today. Good morning, Bob.
Hey.
How's it going?
Yeah, very good.
What's that?
Hey, Dandy.
How are we doing?
Yeah.
Yes, we're good. We're good.
Good. Fine. Yeah.
How are you, Bob?
Doing good. Sitting in the Bob Dylan Country Time Jamboree Sleepy Time Lemonade Hour.
No, it's just called the Theme Time Radio Hour. That's it. But you tell a lot of stories, play a lot of music.
Yeah, it's very easy. The theme, you're going to throw on the theme, and stories about all the different songs we play in all the afternoon, and sing them that week's show.
Not a word. Not one
I
word.
I heard theme.
Yeah.
I heard that.
What? Yeah, each week we have a theme.
You have a theme. Okay, what's
you're playing different songs. Huh? And just there's a better song. We're going to do the theme of that next show.
Okay. All right. What's your theme, Bob?
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah, happy St. Patrick's Day. Yeah.
Is that your theme, or are you just saying
that? I'm just saying it to you.
You're just saying it to us. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I
wow,
speak
you're
Bob.
Getting better at
at
Bob.
Times I speak Bob.
Man, you even drinking?
Huh?
Have you been drinking?
Yes, I've been drinking.
Good name. Good.
Now, do you have a theme?
Yeah, this is a theme. Eyes.
Oh, God.
Eyes?
Yeah. Eyes.
Eyes.
Imus? How many songs to be about Imus?
Eyes.
Huh?
I wish.
I wish.
I.
Eyelids.
Lids. I. Miss.
Eyes.
Irish!
St. Patrick's Day!
Irish!
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 All right, good.
The musicians of Ireland. The singers of Ireland. It's all Saddam
Hussein. Saddam Hussein I got. I'm not sure how that fits in.
Saddam Hussein, no. All the musicians of Ireland.
The musicians of Ireland.
And the songs they sing.
And the songs they sing.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Now we got the theme.
Like,
excellent.
Like this one.
Yeah, Sinead O'Connor, sure.
Sinead O'Connor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's bald.
She is bald,
she's bald.
Hey, hey, Bob, you don't
bald
sing.
Bald and Irish.
Bald and Irish, yeah. You don't sing with the songs on the on the show,
Bob,
do you?
Bob Dylan's Country Time Sing Long Lemonade Hour.
I don't think that's what it's called, but all right. Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah, and okay. Then the Irish band.
Tell me what I like the name.
Yeah, I think it's. I think that song's over.
Boomtown Rats.
Sure, Boomtown Rats. Sure.
Sir Bob Geldof.
Sure, Sir Bob Geldof. Right.
Yeah, he's good. And of course, we're gonna be Irish now. This band.
Sure, you too.
The name is Hindi. The name is Hindi.
Right.
The name is Hindi.
All right. They're done singing as well. So you got Sinead O'Connor, you got Boomtown Rats, you got you two.
And here's the Miami.
The Cranberries? All right, Bob. Bob. Hey, Bob. That song's over.
Yeah. And crazy old Irish song.
But Irish eyes are smiling. Sure, it's like a morning spring.
Hey, Bob?
In the little Irish you can hear the angels sing.
Hey, Bob, what happened to your voice? We could hear you perfectly.
What?
We could hear every word you were saying. You were enunciating.
Really?
Yes, yeah. Your slur was gone.
It's a St. Patrick's Day miracle.
Yes,
I'm healed.
Yes, you are. Why can't we understand what you're saying now, though?
Oh,
that's too bad. And also Seth Green on the program tomorrow.
Wow.
That's
great.
So Bad Religion coming up just after the top of the hour. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
You know why we're going to have Seth in?
Right.
In fact, he's just a swell dude. Is because we're going to be talking about the Buffy the Vampire Slayer reunion that's going to be held at the Paley Television Festival this year.
That's a pretty cool idea.
The cast and creators of Buffy getting back together again for the first time since the show went off the air. So a lot of Buffy fans are very excited about that evening. Speaking of the Paley Festival, I've got some more tickets to give away in the next hour. Not now, but about an hour from now, I'll be giving away tickets for you to spend an evening with the cast and creators of the TV series Chuck, which is one of my favorite
shows.
That's
a good show, too.
Very entertaining. Yeah. And that Yvonne Strakorsky or whatever her name is, she's a crackers.
Yeah.
She's diabolical. Yeah. Breaking news about the Heather Mills-Paul McCartney divorce. Apparently, she's getting less than was speculated by the British press. The official statement from the judge presiding over the case has been released, and it turns out that Heather is being awarded just $33 million.
Oh, really? Because an hour ago we thought it was 50.
Well, that was the rumor.
Excellent.
Inside sources were telling, you know, the news hadn't been released yet, but they were speculating that that was the settlement. And apparently the judge gave her less, $33 million. Here's the funny part. Paul reportedly offered her $50 million just to settle and walk away.
Right.
She said no. She insisted on taking it into court.
Awesome.
And so the judge gave her less than Paul was willing to give her just to call it a day.
Awesome.
I love that.
So that's pretty spectacular.
How's she supposed to eat with only $33 million?
I know. I mean, 50, she could have. She could live on that.
For a couple of years.
But $33 million, now she's going to be pushing a shopping cart, hopping around.
That one leg.
Yeah. Put the other leg in the cart, I guess. Looking for cans in the trash. It's going to be sad.
Yeah, that's sad.
Not sad enough. So there you go. That's your update on the Paul McCartney, Heather Mills divorce.
That's better than I thought.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Dr. Seuss kicks ass.
Yeah.
Horton Hears a Who comes in at number one by far. $45 million it made over the weekend. Monstrous numbers.
That means Horton Hears a Who too. That's what that means.
Here's a Who again.
Yeah.
Here's a second Who. Did you go? Did you take the girls to
No, I did
go
not.
See Horton?
They went.
They went.
I did not attend that film with them.
Linus gassed up the minivan and threw him in the back and once again did your fatherly duties.
No,
is that what he did?
It's not the case at all.
Uh-huh. What were you doing while they were going
Laker
to see
game?
Horton? Soon? Yeah, see? It's all about you. It's all about you. You shouldn't even have kids.
Oh, the Lakers were losing to Houston.
They should step in. 10,000 BC was number two at the box office, $16.4 million. Never Back Down.
Yes!
The story of undercover high school MMA fighting.
Yes. Like watching my childhood.
Came in at number three. I didn't know. You
sure.
You were a UFC fighter
Go
in high
some,
school?
Some people who have mansions, and then you have a big party, everybody's dancing, and then all of a sudden they all clear out space and we throw down.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh, sure.
Did you ever compete in the beatdown, the big undercover tournament?
I never quite made it to the beatdown.
Never made the beatdown? Number four was College Road Trip. Vantage Point came in at number five. The Bank Job was number six. Doomsday, Semi-Pro, The Other Boleyn Girl, and The Spiderwick Chronicles. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Halle Berry had her baby yesterday. Her first, the 41-year-old actress, is doing well, as is the baby, according to her baby daddy, Gabriel Aubrey, who's a model. Bet that's a good-looking kid. He's a model. She's Halle Berry.
Yeah. She's still amazing.
Yeah, she looks great.
Well, you know, black don't crack. She's got that going for her.
Yeah.
Another baby news. Kimora Lee Simmons is denying rumors that she is pregnant with boyfriend Jamin Hunsu.
Oh, I sure hope that's the case, that she's not.
I hope so, too. I feel for those little kids she already has. She doesn't have to add another one. And I hope Jamin Hunsu gets out without having a permanent connection to her with a baby.
Yeah, so she's crazy.
She is crazy. And finally, more baby news. Minnie Driver is talking about her pregnancy. And she is praying to God and hoping that she has a girl.
Okay.
Because you said her last name just wouldn't fit a boy. Kid's name's going to be Driver, so what are you going to call him? Pile? Rally? She said she might call him Duncan, because then he could be Dunk Driver.
Dear God.
That would be funny. Dunk Driver! Dunk Driver!
Oh!
See what I'm saying there?
I see.
Sounds a lot like Drunk Driver.
Mm-hmm. Ah!
Yeah. Speaking of which, happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Did you know
that Patrick died on this day in 461.
Yeah, I miss him. Miss him a lot.
Actually, the date of his death is uncertain. It's either March 8th or 9th, but church officials couldn't figure out which one to go with, so they added the dates together and came up with March 17th.
Is that true?
It's absolutely true.
Were they drinking?
Yes.
Were the church officials? I know, let's just add them together.
It always comes down to alcohol when it comes to the St. Pat's Day. So, Gilligan's Island actress Dawn Wells, you remember her? She played Marianne on the show.
Yeah.
She's got troubles. You know, she was recently busted for pot.
Yeah.
Cops pulled her over and they found four blunts and smelled marijuana. And she said, some hitchhikers did it.
Some hitchhikers did it.
I picked up some hitchhikers and they left all this marijuana in my car, officer.
Buzzkill!
Yeah, I bet she picks up lots of hitchhikers.
Oh, she's Marianne. She was the nice one.
Sure.
If it was Ginger, she wouldn't pick anybody up. But Marianne.
She wouldn't care.
Anyway, she skated relatively unscathed. She had gotten with
Can you skate unscathed?
You can skate unscathed.
Okay.
She got off with a reckless driving arrest as opposed to the pot bust. But anyway, she lost her gig with the Girl Scouts. She was supposed to appear at a Girl Scouts luncheon and do a personal appearance, but they canceled on her. She will not make any money off the appearance.
But it's only weed.
That's what we're saying.
Really?
We didn't feel it was appropriate for her to speak under the circumstances, said a spokesman for the Girl Scouts.
Why do they think we're eating their cookies, for God's sakes?
Because we're stoned.
Right? Come on with that.
But it's only weed.
So high and mighty, the Girl Scouts. They got those girls out there whoring themselves out for cookies. Oh, yeah. Buy my cookies. Give me money. Give me money. And all of a sudden, now they're going to get high and mighty about Dawn Wells smoking a little weed.
What's up with that?
Hate.
You can't hate the Girl Scouts, Ralph.
Why not?
I don't know. It just seems wrong.
Renee Zellweger says she has plans for her fictional character, Bridget Jones. She would like to do another Bridget Jones movie.
Okay.
She wants to see her character move to Los Angeles, have a baby, and lose all the weight that she carries around. So this way, Renee wouldn't have to travel to do the movie, wouldn't have to gain all the weight to play the role.
Well,
as long as it works out for you, Renee.
Really?
Why don't you play someone else then?
That's odd.
And a more movie news. Dwayne The Rock Johnson's got an upcoming film. They're going to remake Escape to Witch Mountain, that Disney movie. Remember that movie?
I don't
The kids,
really.
It's like aliens and whatnot.
His last movie was a kids movie, too, right?
And a Disney movie. I think now he's just going to do Disney movies.
Okay.
It was successful, well. Wasn't it? Game plan was huge, wasn't it?
Race to Witch Mountain, it'll be called. He will star in it opposite Carla Gugino from Night at the Museum and Entourage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going into production soon, so congratulations, Rock.
He's only doing those, huh?
Long as he doesn't have a
That's his career.
Long as he doesn't have an unknown 7-year-old daughter who shows up at his doorstep and puts his dog in a tutu.
That happens occasionally.
I'll be okay with it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kurt Russell turns 57 years old today. Gary Sinise is 53. Rob Lowe turns 44. What's Rob Lowe doing these days?
He's on this show called Brothers and Sisters on
Shut
Sunday
up.
Nights. Mm-hmm.
Is everybody who got a career on that show?
How can that be the answer to everyone?
Everybody who has no career ends up on Brothers and Sisters.
It's like Stupid Lisa!
It's the love boat for the 21st century.
He's a senator and he's running for president.
It's the Raiders of television.
When your career's over, that's where you go. How big is this cast? Every time we mention somebody, you say, oh, they're on Brothers and Sisters.
Well, there's a lot of brothers, there's a lot of sisters.
Apparently.
Stupid Lisa!
And then they get married, so then there's them.
The brothers
the
and sisters get married?
And the sisters-in-law. Yeah.
Stop with this show, people. Seriously. Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins, is 41, as is his former bassist, Melissa Ofdemar. Ofdemar. From Pumpkins and Hole. She's 36 years old today. A hole, you know, band hole.
Sure.
Psycho Mike. And most importantly, Marissa Coughlin from Freddy Got Fingered. She's 34 years old today.
What a great
That's
movie.
A
Just wanted to say Freddy Got Fingered. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Religion in the studios of the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Greg, Brett, Brooks in the studio with us. Welcome this morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good day.
You guys played last night?
Yeah, we were on stage a matter of hours ago.
Excellent.
And
was it a late night?
Yeah, we've been playing these ridiculously long shows. Punk rock shows I didn't think should go for 2 hours, but somehow we managed.
Well, you have the songs. Most bands probably don't have the songs, I imagine.
Yeah, that helps.
Now, Brett, you weren't there last night?
No, you're I've been racked with a terrible fever. So.
You're bringing your Black Death in here today, are you?
I brought you the gift of the plague.
That's great news.
Yeah.
So you guys play the House of Blues. I guess you're going to play the House of Blues in Anaheim. End of March, early April?
We're doing a world tour of Southern California. We have something like 22 shows in only 4 venues.
You know, you can play bigger venues, and then you don't have to play 75 nights in a row.
Yeah, that is a great idea.
Yeah. Have you guys thought of that?
No. Is that what the real big bands do?
Yeah, they pick bigger venues. Yeah, it's very cool. And then they don't have to play so many nights in a row.
We got to talk to management.
Yeah. We're just a punk band.
Now, you guys are you're playing those shows. And then this summer, are you going to Europe? Is that what I read? You're going to European festivals?
Well, we have done that traditionally for the last many, many years. And this time we took a year off. So this will be the first time in 2 years that we go back to Europe, and we have quite a big schedule this summer.
How are those festivals different than the festivals in, you know, Southern California?
Well, it's interesting because it's a way of life over there. It's like they don't even question who's playing. They just buy tickets to these big festivals.
Just based on the fact that it's a 3-day or whatever festival?
Yeah, and they camp out for the whole 3 days because in Europe, I don't know if you know this, but there's no national parks or places to camp.
It's camping.
They go and they get drunk and they buy these cheap tents and they sleep for 3 days in the rain.
If they happen to see a band, fine. If they don't, fine.
Exactly. The bands are like the wildlife.
Yeah.
It's like going to Yellowstone here. Yeah. Is the equivalent.
That sounds a little scary, to be honest with you.
It's a lot of fun to be invited as a band, but I don't know how they put up with the camping conditions.
Wow. Oh, I can't imagine. That would suck. But but playing the small places, playing the big places, like in Europe, for example, those festivals have huge crowds.
50 to 100,000 people.
My God.
And over here, you know, the only equivalent thing we have is like the Warp Tour, which it's I don't know, do people camp out now at the Warp Tour? It's getting that way in some of the southern states even. People can't, because it's out in the middle of the country or a cornfield somewhere.
But we have like Coachella, which is going to be end of April or whatever. Yeah, Bonnaroo is in Tennessee or something like that, right?
Yeah, America is becoming gentrified in the way of live music festivals.
Gentrified. look that word up later. Okay, good.
Dictionary.com.
Okay, good. Thanks for the tip. Tell us about the new Maps of Hell. You got a new version of it coming out, is that right?
Yeah, Greg and I recorded a bunch of new songs acoustically as demos for the next record.
Okay.
And then we had the idea, hey, you know, a lot of times when our songs become well-known, they become well-known electrically, we'll then, you know, do acoustic versions for the fans. And we thought, you know, maybe a lot of the fans don't realize that sometimes we write these songs acoustically, you know. So we thought about the idea of making an acoustic EP, and then we put some classics on there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we're putting that together with New Maps of Hell. So, and I think it's also come to the DVD.
How do you guys write songs? Is it acoustically for the most part, or do you? I don't know how.
I think
you and Brett share the duties, but
yeah. But we basically write separately and then come together and sort of amalgamate our ideas that we came up with separately. And Brett has a lot of acoustic ideas. I mean, he's more the studio guru also, so
right.
I kind of defer to him on that. But I have a nice room at home that with all my acoustic instruments, and that's where a lot of the melodies and the chords come together.
Yeah, and sometimes we'll even write a tune on piano. So,
yeah.
I'd like to see that.
Come on over.
Come over anytime. It's not that exciting.
Now, speaking of rooms in your homes, that's kind of the new way the music industry is working. It used to be you had to get signed by a record label, then you had to sell tens of millions of CDs, or else you would.
Sure.
Now it's all being done at home.
Yeah, yeah, home studios,
Pro Tools, home studios, whatever you got.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Kids across America are able to make really, you know, studio quality recordings in their home, and I think what we're seeing is just an explosion of creativity in the music.
Is it going to be hard to make your way in that kind of world with thousands of bands and people out there and not as much promotion or whatever? Is it going to be possible to be a Bad Religion in the future?
I think so. You know, it was really hard to make your way in the old days because you were up against kind of the old gatekeepers, you know, and now everything's broken wide open and the gates are torn down. So you know, I
but everyone's rushing. Yeah. So then
that's
what do
true.
You do? I mean,
you're going to. There's a very low signal to noise ratio, granted. however, you know, teenagers have a lot of time, and I think the exceptional things do stand out. You know, I mean, I'm listening to lots of good music all the time, and there's, you know, there's kind of a culture of recommendation out there right now. Kids go on the blogs and the social networks, and they tell each other what they've discovered. And when something's really great, it spreads like wildfire.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a much quicker process than it used to be, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's cool.
And Pennywise, they got a new CD coming out, and they're going to give it away for free on MySpace.
Those are our buddies, Pennywise. We saw Fletcher the other night in the pit. Hey, Fletch.
He was there for your show?
Yeah.
And
family.
What do you think about the whole new way that music is going now with giving it away for free? I mean, Radiohead gave it away for what you would pay.
Yeah.
You know, and then now Pennywise is going to give away for a couple of weeks on MySpace.
You know, information wants to be free, and that's how it's going to be, and you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
There's no way to go back to selling it, really. I mean, is that pretty much everyone has to come to the realization that they're just going to have to start giving that away for free and making money somewhere else?
Or? There's got to be a balance. There's no way to going back to how it used to be, though, for sure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But the balance, you're going to have to be able to get some money for the music.
An example is what Trent Reznor just brilliantly did with his new record, where, you know, he gave it away for free if you wanted it in this way. But if you were a true collector, you could pay some money and get something very unique and special. Or if you had a medium budget, then you could do this and you could get a disc.
That's true. I got it for $5. I think that was the medium. One you could get for free, one you could spend $5. Yeah. And then one's like a collector's edition type thing.
Right. So what you do is you kind of provide things for the collectors, and you provide things for the casual listeners, and you provide a few different levels there. And I think that's where it's going. I think that was very, very smart. But it will never be what it used to be, which was really an economy of scarcity, where a few big companies decided what releases were coming out that Tuesday, and that's all you had a choice of.
Right.
You know? And, hey, this Tuesday there's 15 new releases in North America. Here's what they are. It's like, you know what? How about 15,000 new releases?
Yeah.
You know?
And then
probably what came out this week.
Yeah, probably.
That's probably true. Do you have to add video and stuff, too? Do you guys try to do some of that stuff, behind-the-scenes video type stuff?
Definitely. The new DVD that's coming out has two really nice pieces. One is the making of the acoustic EP, which shows a bit of the writing process that Greg and I do. And also, it has an hour-long, never-before-released DVD of a live show with a multi-microphone mix and multi-camera shoot.
Oh, very cool.
That was done at the House of Blues in Vegas, was it?
Yeah.
Is it a lot more work now, though? I mean, a lot more work for a band to put something out, because you really do have to step up the output. It's not the same old songs or whatever.
You'd have to ask. I mean, it's more of an effort on the record company's part. I mean, a band, if you're going to be an active band, you've got to be playing, you've got to be touring.
You do that stuff anyway.
Anyway, and now that everybody and their brother has a camera, it's not much more work for the band, but to package it, to put it all together and to make it presentable, I think, is more of a behind-the-scenes effort. And I think, the packages have to be a little slicker now.
That's fantastic. And you, Greg, are still teaching at UCLA? Or?
Today is a very big day.
Yes, please tell me.
My students who are listening, some of which shouldn't be listening because they should be studying.
For a final?
Today is the final of LS1, the end of the winter quarter at UCLA. I want to say hi to all my students.
But wouldn't it be cool if you went in today and you said, look, St. Patrick's Day, I'm just going to give you all A's.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
Don't even worry about coming in.
Go enjoy spring break.
Why do you have to give them these ideas?
No, but you should. I mean, that's cool.
Now it's all over the place.
Right? We were talking about you earlier because...
How easy that would be.
It seems like it would be easy enough for professors and colleges to... to get chicks, I got to be honest. But you're a lead singer of a band. Come on.
Yeah, that turns them off at UCLA.
Is that right? That doesn't work for them? That's not good?
Deterrent.
We were asking you last time about the students who came in and sat down and didn't really know your dual life.
A lot of them don't. They're pre-med students, by and large. But, it's funny because it's an ominous lecture hall. Yeah, there's 300 students,
300. Wow.
And it's very difficult to really for any of them to raise their hand and to speak out. And it's even more difficult to say, hey, let's talk about music
in front of
that. Yeah. So we don't really – it doesn't come up, but it's sometimes in consultation hours it comes up. But
after school or whatever.
Yeah. But by the end of the first week, they all know, right?
A good question.
I imagine.
They
come
don't
on.
Share it with me.
Well, there's one person that knows, and then they all, you know,
yeah,
text each
course.
Other. And
it spreads.
Isn't that the
absolutely.
Guy from Bad Religion? No, no way. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know.
I think it's true, but they're very interested in getting good grades.
So. I'm sure they are. Yeah. But today you're going to let them off the hook. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Right? I mean, it's a special day.
It is a special day. The end of the quarter.
Right. So let them go.
I don't feel that he's
I don't
going
either.
That direction.
I don't think I'm making any progress here.
Greg, are you a strict teacher?
No, I'm not.
That's
strict.
A great question.
I'm actually.
Do people act up in your class and you say, stop it?
No, I don't compete.
Do they? You don't?
I don't even get angry when a cell phone goes off, which happens at least once every lecture.
I'm sure, yeah.
And so kids don't think of you as mean Mr. Graffin?
Master Graffin?
No, they don't.
But they have to screw up some, don't they? I mean, I would.
But they're college students.
So what?
Not, you
here's
know,
the thing.
I was the worst when I was in college.
At this level, you know, a lot of them, it's their TAs that they have more interaction with.
Oh,
the lecturer,
you're
the
not
professor
in touch.
Is,
you're not in touch with them.
Exactly.
I see. So, you have your minions
so
do
when,
it.
Exactly.
I see.
So the discipline That's is on a different down. Level. Yeah.
You just tell them to hit, and they hit.
At this level, I just dispense with the information.
I see.
And then their TAs or their counselors deal with it.
Are you considered difficult?
Gotcha.
Good are
question.
They like? Are they
you know
freaking
what?
Out
I
today?
I don't honestly read my teacher evaluations.
You
so
have no
you have time
idea
for that.
If you're doing a good job.
Are you really an instructor at UCLA? Is that really happening? You're just making
just
it up.
I just it's kind of like a music reviews. You
yeah,
know?
You can't
it's,
read your reviews.
You can't write.
It's just too hurtful. If you've
sure.
if someone's angry, they're having a bad quarter, and they'll take it out on you. So
yeah.
I don't really read them, but I get good reviews one-on-one. People say they've learned a lot.
You have to get some kind of a feeling, though, how you are compared with the other professors.
Yeah, I think I'm challenging because I offer a pretty unconventional view of biology. So I bring a little of the rebellion and bad religion to that worldview of biology. Because there are a lot of controversies. People think biology is a solid science.
Right.
There's tons of controversy. There's a lot of things that aren't as well established as we're led to believe, and I like to teach that. And by the way, I'm not talking about teaching the controversy of intelligent design. That's not a controversy.
Right.
That's
thank you and amen.
Mumbo jumbo. So that's not the controversy. I'm
so you're saying okay. your students can get off the hook today. That's what you're saying.
No.
No. Okay. All right. I happened to notice the chairs and the microphones and the guitars and the snare drum.
Weird.
We just, you know,
you
came
think?
From the House of Blues a couple
just
hours
brought
ago.
Some stuff
so
over?
We brought some stuff
over.
We
already warmed
we
up.
We just finished our encore.
So you're playing late at the House of Blues, and then did you have an after party after the House of Blues?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't
long.
Believe.
Excellent. Where do you think we got these bottles of booze?
Yeah. Cheers.
Yeah.
We come loaded for bear.
I think
yeah.
We have something special today, though, something we've never done before.
Oh, what is that?
What?
We're playing Infected acoustic. Sorry to spoil the surprise.
No, worries. Yeah. That's fantastic.
But, we've never done that, have we?
No. This will be a...
How can you have never done that in this amount of time?
It's honor of his sickness.
We're nervous.
I mean, we do this kind of stuff for you guys. This is not habitual.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, so. Well, you're going to play. We've got some live music from Bad Religion, and we will do it right after this on K-Rock. All right, we are in the studio. The guys from Bad Religion are here. Greg, does it bother you that Lightning is, for some reason, filming between your legs? What's what's that about exactly?
I didn't know that radio had video cameras.
Well, we put up video now a lot, and that's Lightning Scorsese. He's our video guy. You guys are going to perform live? What do you got for us today?
We'd like to introduce to you the first installment of Infected on acoustic guitar.
Fantastic.
Hold your applause till after the movement.
And it works.
Now here I go, hope it don't break down. I won't take anything, don't give me anything. I don't want to exist, I can't persist. Please stop before I do it again. Let's talk about nothing, let's talk about nothing. Let's talk about no one, please talk about no one. Someone, anyone, you and me have a disease. You affect me, you infect me. I'm afflicted, you're addicted. You and me I'm on the edge, dead against the wall. I'm so distracted, I love to strike you. Here's my confession, you learned your lesson. Stop me before I do it again. Let's talk about nothing, let's talk about nothing. Let's talk about no one, please talk about no one, someone, anyone. You and me have a disease. You affect me, you infect me. I'm afflicted, you're addicted. You and me, you're clear as a heavy lead curtain. Wanna drill you just like the ocean, but I'm running out. I can work it out, now I'm running out. Don't be mad about it, baby.
Come on, first time ever right there. Yeah. Fantastic.
Awesome.
Woo! Nicely done.
Pressure. Thank you.
That was a lot of pressure on that one, was it?
Thanks for the opportunity to get my heart rate up this morning.
Sure. Sure, it's not a problem. Every band has to work with that balance of songs that get great response from your fans, songs that you think are great but don't get great responses. Do you have songs like that where you think, this song is amazing, and then there's not much response, and other songs that are kind of like throwaways and people love them?
You know, that's a good point, because almost every song I write, and I think it's the same for Brett, has, we have the confidence that this is going to be a great song.
Every single one?
Every one.
Okay.
And then when you hear them in comparison to an album's worth of material, you realize, okay, well, that's not as good as this one. And then sometimes those become the fan favorites, the ones that you
do. Are you totally surprised by fan response sometimes?
I'm always surprised.
To songs?
Yeah. Brett is a master at picking songs. That's what he does in the record industry.
Right.
So, I mean, that's something he probably has a different experience.
Brett, do people surprise you, the stuff that they respond to, or you can usually call it?
I can usually call it.
Yeah.
Although, not always.
Not always.
Yeah, not always.
Is there a huge surprise? One song out of your entire career of...
I'll tell you one.
Yeah. Can we turn Brett up so we can hear him a little bit more?
Can you turn me up?
Back in the day... Oh, you got him. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Back in the day, before we had ever really played a slow song, or not very many, is when the band came out with Digital Boy. Mm-hmm. And actually, our sound man at the time told me, you can't do that song. That's not punk. And I thought, well, I think it is, and I think it's a good song. So... you know, let's put it on the record anyway. And I was a little scared that people wouldn't accept that song as a Bad Religion song, because it's really a rock song.
That's true. I remember that. And then after that, Struck a Nerve was the next song that... that was one written on piano, actually, and K-Rock embraced it, and I was very shocked at the response to that song.
So those were a couple surprises.
All right. Yeah. What are you going to do for us now? Bad Religion in the studios? Live music?
New Dark Ages.
Yes.
Here's one you guys are playing right now.
Currently... here's how it started. Oh, yeah. I'm going to start that one. Or you can start us off, but it's a shorter intro.
Okay. One, two. One, two, three, four.
Yeah, can you hear the call in a rambling land? Susurrations that can expand beyond all hope of light and plunge us into unrelenting. A pall on truth and reason. It feels like hunting season. So avoid those lines of sight, and we'll set this right. Welcome to the new dark ages. Well, I hope you're living right. These are the new dark ages. The world might end tonight. Welcome, ye children, one and all. Let's heed Ezekiel's call and fight until the word is good and ripe and get plucked clean out of sight. The world will be erased. Our kin will be immaculate, ejaculate in space before the King of Kings' love. Touch him from above now, brothers, help me say. Welcome to the new dark ages. Well, I hope you're living right. These are the new dark ages, and the world might end tonight. Well, how do you see? There's nothing to keep. This is deep, because we're
come on, that's a very, very positive, upbeat song. I like that. You are guys that will talk about politics, and I'm sure you're interested in politics, but a year like this, I mean, come on. I mean, don't you, are you guys as sick to death of politics as I am, and I just wish it was November 4th right now?
Yeah, pretty much. We made our statement on this whole political season.
That President Bush is your favorite of all time, right? If I could just summarize.
So I just this year it would be nice if it got over with quickly.
Yeah, it's annoying. Do you guys, when you're in the privacy of your own private spaces or whatever, do you play songs that your fans would find gay,
embarrassing?
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, we are we have embarrassing, guilty favorites.
Yeah. Like.
Do we have to be embarrassed here?
I'd like you to.
Steely Dan.
But like Steely Dan?
I love them.
I mean, you can't... that's a good-sounding record, isn't it? Asia.
But who else? I mean, do you play like a Michael Jackson song every once in a while, or...
Actually, we played Broadway last night.
What's that?
Broadway.
Oh, yeah, we like some George Benson. That's
okay, all right.
Brooks plays a lot of jazz.
Oh.
Like the kind that you can't even listen to because it's so...
That's considered a much more difficult style of music, isn't it? That kind of jazz?
Yeah, he's skilled, though.
Yeah. So. Well, that's good.
He keeps time in his head that's, you know, most time signatures are like 4-4. We can count along. 1-2-3.
Sure.
Three.
Or
3-4.
This
is like 13-3.
It's actually 29-3.
29-3. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. I wish I did, but I don't. One more song? Can you guys do one more?
Yep.
We could pull one out.
Fantastic.
Yeah. All right.
Bad Religion live on K-Rock.
Let's explain a little something.
All right.
Here's one the fans might not know. It's off the new album.
Okay.
It's going to be done acoustically on the EP that's coming out with the deluxe package.
That is, let me just plug that again, deluxe CD of New Maps of Hell, which is 7 new acoustic tracks, and June 3rd is when it comes out.
And this song is called Dearly Beloved. Story of an honest man who's in religion, climbing the pulpit step before an eager congregation. The wild prayer came a wicked inspiration. Brothers, sisters, this is what he said. Dearly beloved, dearly beloved, dearly beloved, I can't relate to you. I can't. Was the kind of guy who'd always go right out of his way, but more before the crazy notion left right into his head and secretly crept into every man's perception. I can't deny a funny feeling when he said, "Dearly beloved, dearly beloved."
done. And grab yourself a neighbor's skeleton to lean upon. Did you know him in life? One filled with regret. So soon we all forget we ever met. Do you know my name? Sing a light refrain. Strange. I can't deny that I'm inclined to isolate. Dearly beloved, dearly beloved, dearly beloved. I can't relate to you. I can't relate to you. I can't relate to you. I can't relate to you.
Oh, gets the big crowd applause. Nicely done. Thank you, guys. That was fantastic.
Thank you so much.
You breathing easy now, Greg?
No, I don't have to go to the gym today.
Guys, we love you at K-Rock. You guys are one of our favorites. You've known that ever since, you know,
well,
early 80s.
We do know that.
You guys are fantastic. You played last night. Thanks for getting up and coming in today and for playing. And
well,
Brett, hope you feel better.
Thanks for having us. Many years of K-Rock support, and we hope to see you very soon.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Right now it's time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. You could leave a message 24 hours a day. Any topic is fine, including words you find funny.
Thank God.
Traffic is going to make us all lose our minds at some point.
Absolutely.
This poor girl.
Sitting in traffic. Ooh, sitting in traffic outside my window. Sitting in traffic behind the tree. I wish that you could see how much this is bugging me. And it's traffic outside my window pane. Get out of my way. Hey, jerk. You cut me off. Hey, bitch. Get off your cell phone. What a dude, nephew.
Clearly losing your mind.
God.
Sad.
Sad.
Oh, my God. Guys, why have you not mentioned your podcast before? It's the best thing ever. Pure Kevin and Bean and Ralph goodness with all the crap like Doc and producer Lightning whoring himself out, all that stuff, and the 40 Red Hot Chili Pepper songs. All edited out. It's the best thing ever. God, I need to get laid.
Yeah. Really, that's the best thing ever.
He's right. He needs something else.
He needs a woman. What are you going to do, spoon me to death? I am fine to let that go.
Mm-hmm.
It was a moment in time. I know we brought it up. I know that, but it doesn't exist in any movie.
So that's
the end of it.
Hey, that line, what are you going to do, spoon me to death, is actually in a movie. Very independent film called Two Girls, One Cup. You guys should look into that.
All right. All right.
Don't do it.
Don't or do?
Don't.
Don't go to that?
I'm just saying.
All right. I'm just saying.
Four girls finger paint.
Oh, my
God,
Mike.
No. What is wrong with
just
you?
Just say sequel.
And I don't know how this one got in, but...
Hello, Kevin. This is the office of Dr. Saul Rosenberg. Your AIDS test results came back positive. You are going to die.
Okay. That one might have should have been on my cell phone, not the Afro line.
Oh, sorry to hear,
not really,
Kevin.
How my doctors need to get through to me.
Bummer.
Unfortunately. 323-520-AFRO. Ralph Showbiz Beat is next. Right now, it's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Can you hold on just for a second?
Yeah.
Because I'm about
forget
to
something?
I'm about to do a trivia question to give away tickets for the evening with Chuck with the Pedley Television Festival.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And I forgot to tell Dave the King of Mexico what the answer to the trivia question
okay.
was. So he won't know what the right answer is when it comes in.
Right.
So I'm going to run out and tell him real quick, and I'll be back.
No problem.
So you just cover for me and act as if nothing's wrong.
All right.
Let's think of something to do while we're waiting. While we're waiting for something new to do. Let's try to think up a song while we're waiting. That's liberating and will be true to you. Let's think of something to do while we're waiting. While we're waiting till something's through. You know it's really all right. In fact, it's downright quite bright to think of something to do that's specific for you. Let's think of something to do while we're waiting.
Hi, Rob.
So glad he's dead. It's all right. In fact, it's quite bright. Shut up.
Come on, that's a good rhyme.
Write a lyric, you bastard.
It's Mr. Rogers, for God's sake.
I know, but I've been drinking.
He gets angry, you know.
I'm Irish, I'm drunk.
Yeah, that is true. Mm-hmm. Time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph.
Before I get to the Showbiz Beat,
You have a trivia question?
I've got a trivia question.
Oh, didn't
did you
know
tell
that.
Dave the answer yet?
I just gave Dave the answer.
Oh. Right.
Well said.
And here's the trivia question.
All right.
It's for the Paley Television Festival Evening with Chuck, one of my new favorite shows of the new fall season that came on this year. And I've got two pairs of tickets to give away. If you'd like to go, be the first, one of the first two people through on the phones with this correct answer. What is the nickname of Chuck's sister's boyfriend? If you know the show, you know that Chuck lives with his sister and her boyfriend. And he's got a very specific nickname that Chuck and the rest of his friends call this dude with all the time. So if you know that answer, call right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Call now with the nickname of Chuck's sister's boyfriend. And you get to spend the evening with the cast and creators of Chuck. Please enjoy.
Fantastic.
All right. More breaking news in the Paul McCartney-Heather Mills divorce case.
What?
What? How does it change every hour?
Because the judge and the legal papers are finally being released to the public. So all this stuff previous to this was speculation. Now we're finding out the truth.
I see. Okay.
So initially it had been reported widely by British newspapers that she was going to make $50 million. In reality, she only got awarded $33 million by the judge.
Okay.
Which is considerably less. The truth is that Paul reportedly offered her $50 million to settle and not go to court, but she insisted on going to court. So.
She thought she'd get more.
And regarding Sir Paul's net worth, initially it was estimated to be $1.6 billion.
Right.
Yeah. Court papers reveal that the judge determined it to be closer to $800 million.
Really?
Half of that amount. So apparently he is not worth over $1.5 billion, as previously reported.
That's a big difference.
It is a big difference.
Hmm.
Yeah. So still, $800 million is not bad. Don't get me wrong.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
$1.6 billion sounds so much cooler.
It does.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's factoring in the iTunes money, because he's going to make like $400 million off of that
good point.
Deal. So maybe he'll break the $1 billion mark this year with a new iTunes deal. Will someone get that goddamn phone?
Hey, Ken in Redondo Beach.
Yeah,
Ken.
Ken, what is Chuck's sister's boyfriend's nickname?
He is Captain Awesome.
Captain Awesome.
Because
he says awesome all the time. Dude, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Let's do that. It'd be awesome. So they call
Captain
him Captain awesome.
Awesome. That's funny.
Congratulations. You're going to spend an evening with the creators and cast of the TV series Chuck at the Paley Television Festival.
Right on.
Nicely done.
We'll give you all the details.
Ken.
This year they're holding at the Arclight Cinemas this year, which is a great place to see it. They usually have a screening of an episode, then they bring out the cast and crew, and you get to ask questions and stuff.
Those are cool.
Very cool. Very cool indeed. Congratulations to Halle Berry.
Halle Berry?
Yeah. Halle Berry?
Halle Berry. She had a baby girl, her first, yesterday in Los Angeles. Representatives are saying that she and the baby are doing great. She's 41, by the way.
That'll be her last, I'm thinking.
I bet so.
Yeah.
She's got diabetes, too. She's a diabetic.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So she was a high-risk pregnancy all throughout this pregnancy.
No kidding.
So it's a little miracle that she had her baby and everyone's happy and healthy. The husband, the father, rather, is model Gabriel Aubrey. And she's already told everyone that the child will take his last name. So little baby Aubrey joins us.
Hmm.
Of course, circle of life means there can't be birth without death. As we welcome Halle Babies. What? Halle Berry's baby into the room.
God.
So I think Ralph another drink.
I got a little buzz going here.
I'm in the other room drinking. Well, you guys are singing your songs with Bad Religion, having little interviews.
Well, we weren't singing. They were singing.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, the circle of life. Where was I?
Death. Someone has to die.
Death.
Yeah.
So we have to say goodbye to Kurt Eberling Sr.
Yeah?
Who's miss that? Him. Kurt Eberling Sr. was the man who invented SpaghettiOs.
Oh. Somebody emailed me, it's the neat round spaghetti you can eat with a spoon.
Ah, the neat round spaghetti you can eat with a spoon.
It's mushy poop with ketchup.
It's sure.
Oh, it is. That's pretty accurate.
Not.
No, that's pretty accurate.
But
though.
When you were a kid, the tiny list of foods that really got you excited when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Sloppy Joe's.
Love.
That
Still
was
love.
A big one. That
Still
was
love.
A big winner when you were a kid.
Yep.
And when mom would crack open a can of the SpaghettiOs.
Because
they had little tiny little meatballs in them with the SpaghettiOs. Mm-hmm. That was good eating right there.
It was. And then as you grow up, you realize how crappy it was.
Right,
so.
But I'm talking
was horrible.
Nostalgia. I'm talking about the excitement when I was a kid. I used to love the
macaroni
SpaghettiOs.
And cheese holds up to today.
That's an evergreen.
True.
SpaghettiOs bad.
But I'm just saying,
used
think
to be
back
good.
To when you were a kid.
That's
and
right.
You know you were excited by the SpaghettiOs.
No.
But I ate dirt when I was a kid, so what's the difference there? Come on.
What?
I did it.
Oh,
who didn't eat dirt?
Dirt?
Who didn't eat dirt?
I didn't eat dirt.
Lisa ate dirt
and paste.
Well, you look like a pasty eater from way back.
Mike, you ate dirt.
I did not.
You didn't eat dirt.
Who's eating dirt?
Everyone.
Why would you eat dirt?
Every kid eats dirt.
Were you like raised on in some sort of homeless shelter or
no,
something?
Where
you
were
starving?
Just,
yeah, it's not
you
a,
know, once in a while.
It never dawned on me. Wow, that looks good. You know the stuff you walk on and play on and run around on? I want to get a handful and just eat it up. That sounds like a great idea.
I used to eat dirt. I don't want anyone to tell you.
You are a retarded person. Have you ever been tested? Seriously, for anything.
No,
for any kind of brain dysfunction, for any sort of
Come on. Eating dirt is very common.
Thank you, Lisa.
No!
Eating dirt is fine when you're a little kid.
If you're a puppy or something, who's eating dirt?
Just a little. Just a taste.
Puppies
no!
eat. You never tasted
the
dirt.
Curiosity what date the dirt tastes like?
It wasn't bad either, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, you know what it tastes like?
Dirt.
Dirt.
I want to talk to Ralph's mom and dad. I'll bet he ate dirt and forgot.
I guarantee you
I'll
there was
you
no
did.
Dirt eating
I'll bet
going
you ate
on
dirt.
In my past.
I think paste eating is common.
It is common,
it's
as is dirt.
But, you know, even paste eaters, they have that stigma of, like, they're a little woo-hoo. They're wearing they're taking the short bus and they're wearing the helmets in class.
You're not a short bus if you try paste. You're a short bus if you continue to eat paste.
You
like,
ate it all the time.
It.
You were just gulping mucilage at every chance you got.
Mucilage. Listen. Don't try and pass off eating dirt as
eating
something
dirt.
All kids do.
It is.
No.
It's not untypical.
It's normal.
It's hardly normal.
Who eats dirt?
You play in the dirt.
I think
put
you
your
were
fingers
deprived
in your mouth.
A little oxygen as a kid. That's what I'm
it's possible.
Guessing.
I'm not
there's
saying
a little
I didn't.
Damage up there.
It's possible. Doesn't
I think
mean...
maybe the cord was wrapped around your neck inside the mommy belly.
We're going to go outside and you're going to try some dirt
That's
today.
Not going to happen.
We're going to try
I'm
some
not
dirt.
Eating dirt. But I do have some delicious Bass to wash it down with. Bass imported pale ale. The official beer of the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's what we wash dirt down with.
You know, after I've eaten a big meal of dirt,
yeah,
nothing cleans my palate better than a nice, refreshing, cold Bass imported pale ale.
Oh, dear
Bass,
God.
Bass, the only beer that goes with dirt. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kurt Russell's 57.
Yeah,
sure. Thanks for agreeing with Psycho Mike.
Are you excited about it?
He's a badass.
All right.
Gary Sinise turns 53. Actor Rob Lowe, who Lisa claims is on a fictional
on
TV show called
Brothers and Sisters. Yes,
he's 44 years old today. What?
Oh, for God's sake.
Lightning brings
a
cup of
dirt.
Have
of
a he's
I'm
not
a
taste.
I'm not tasting dirt.
Have a taste. A small taste.
Who in their right mind eats dirt?
Every kid. Lightning, did you eat dirt?
I would assume so.
Of course.
You would assume so.
Why do you assume?
Because he's Lightning.
Because you're believing Kevin's line, which is everybody eats dirt.
Everyone eats dirt when they're a kid.
Yeah.
Of course.
You know that.
Of course. Try it. Just try it.
I'm not
just
I'm not
try
eating
it.
Dirt.
What's the downside?
What
try the dirt.
Lightning ran outside with a cup and came back with
he's all excited.
With 8 full ounces of dirt for me to eat.
Because he thought you would eat it.
He's been working Santa Anita for too long. Hey, what's a barber stick? I get a big cup of dirt here. I just eat it.
He doesn't give you a taste.
I'm not one of you little suckers who are trying to get a free T-shirt, Lightning.
He doesn't bring in just a taste. He brings in a 40-ouncer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Of dirt. Like, no. Well, just try it. I'm just saying
Costco
try
Costco size cup of dirt.
Let's try it.
Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumps is... Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins is 41 years old today. Also, Melissa Oftemar. Oftemar. That's an effed up last name.
Yeah,
she's got to change
it's tough one.
She also was in the Smashing Pumpkins for
also
a moment.
Also ate dirt, I'm sure.
I'm sure she did. Probably when she was performing with Hole. Did you know that who's Kurt's widow?
Yeah,
Courtney Love.
Yeah.
You know she's just eating dirt by the mouthful.
Yeah, well.
Because she's effed up like you are,
given.
Kevin.
Yeah.
This is 36.
I never tried snorting dirt.
And Swifty of D12 turns 33 years old today. And Swifty told me when we were hanging the other day,
yeah.
He said, never ate dirt. Told me that.
He ate dirt.
Just like that.
Everyone ate dirt. You're just embarrassed to say it.
All right. If you ate dirt, call now. What are you
doing? Don't have time.
What? We're not doing
don't have time
dirt
for that.
Eating phone.
Nope. Don't have time for that.
Damn it.
Sorry.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's time to talk to LaQuisha. Good morning, LaQuisha.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How y'all doing?
We are very good. Thank you. How is That's Amore, our favorite show on MTV?
Is getting better every week.
How's that possible?
Because these white girls are all whores. And they're drunk, and they're angry, and they're fighting with each other, and it's endlessly entertaining to
But they're
me.
Not still keeping up the ruse of trying to find true love,
oh,
are they?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They are there to find true love with Domenico, who, of course, was the little Italian guy from the Tila Tequila show from last year.
Sure.
He got his own show now. He's got 8 girls now, narrowed down from 15, living in a mansion with him, trying to find true love.
Yeah.
That's amore. And they do the challenges just like they did on the other show. Only this time, when they find out what the challenge is, the doorbell rings and somebody delivers them a pizza. You see, because he's Italian.
I don't get the tie-in.
And then they open it up, and then it's got a challenge inside. And the first challenge on this week's show had to do with cooking because, you know, Italians cook and they love to eat.
Sure.
I am missing the comfort foods of Italy. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach, Domenico. P.S. The main ingredient is in the closet.
Oh, we'll just go in the closet.
That means they're going to cook Psycho Mike. No. That means the secret ingredient for what they're going to eat is in the closet. And
yeah.
They're like, what do they mean in the closet? So they got to look around the house and find a closet and open up and see what dinner's going to be.
And Domenico's naked inside?
No, that'd be a good surprise.
Yeah.
But instead, it was some live chickens in the closet. But they didn't know that till they opened it up.
Oh, no.
Ready?
Holy crap, it's just chickens.
That is not a real show.
It's like there was like a Bengal tiger in there or something. What are they all screaming about so much?
Wow.
So they all thought they had to kill the chickens.
Yeah.
But they didn't have to. They just wanted to hear them scream, I guess, while chickens ran around the house. They hauled up for bits on this show.
Well, wait a minute. So the chickens weren't used in the cooking?
Well, it was chicken, but it wasn't like they had to murder the chickens themselves in order to cook it.
All right.
They were already made for them. And, you know, his partner, Domenico's partner on this show, is the redneck racist cowboy guy,
sure.
Ashley, from
sure.
the other show. And he explains the girls the rules after Domenico tells them why it's important they know how to cook.
It's a very important challenge because if you want to be with an Italian, you've got to learn how to cook. Otherwise,
Each of you will make your own version of chicken parmigiana.
Yes.
Chicken parmigiana.
Wow.
That's an Italian meal cooked by a girl named Gina, I think.
Yes,
otherwise,
it is.
It's chicken parmigiana, usually. And listen, here's the good thing. These girls are all 20-something. They're all stupid, all drunken whores.
Yeah.
They don't know about cooking. They never cooked nothing in their life. Because they don't get a chance to cook much backstage at a stripper club.
Yeah, that's true.
Where most of them come from, unless it's like a hot plate. Unless you're like cooking up some heroin or something to shoot into your veins. But they're not cooking nothing. And Rebecca, one of the girls, she's got a bad history with cooking for men.
I'm hit or miss with the cook thing. Ow! Last time I cooked for one of my boyfriends, he ate it and then barfed 10 minutes later.
That's not a good sign.
That doesn't sound like hit or miss either, by the way. It sounds just straight miss.
That's a miss. So one by one, they come out to present their chicken parmigiana to Domenico, and he's got to taste it. And whoever cooks the best one gets a one-on-one date with him. Well, some of them were so bad, he was literally spitting them into a bucket.
Oh, good.
And some of them don't know you got to cook chicken well so it's not pink and bloody on the inside.
Oh, good.
But one girl did pretty well. She was the one who won. But there's a girl named Taylor who is sort of a slutty stripper type girl.
Right.
And she wasn't doing so well with the cooking. So she just sits on his lap, starts giving him a lap dance.
Okay.
And while he's eating her food, trying to win him over with sex. And one of the girls, Ashley, just did not care for that at all.
Taylor flaunted her fake boobies and her flat ass. She's dirty.
And made him like a kind of a chicken parma boner.
Gave him chicken parma boner.
Wow.
That's pretty good for him.
That is pretty good for Domenico.
Yeah.
Well, Ashley and Taylor, they're not getting along at all. They are just going at it tooth and nail. So they have a second competition after they're all cooking.
Mm-hmm.
To see who can clean up the kitchen in the most sexy way. They're all dressed in like French maid outfits, and they give them buckets of soapy water and sponges, and they gotta just slide all over the kitchen like a drunken, slutty French maid trying to cook, trying to clean up as sexy as they can.
Hey, LaQuisha, was this shot during the writer's strike?
I believe it was, yes. So Kathleen, who's a virgin, she ends up being the sexiest girl in the room,
really?
Cleaning up.
Okay.
They couldn't believe how slutty she became trying to win this date with Domenico.
Oh, my God. Kathleen, the virgin, actually acted like the whore. She's, like, pulling out stripper moves out of her ass.
Here's the thing. When you're a virgin, you got a lot of time to think about what you're going to do when you have sex.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So you got a lot of pent-up sexual energy, I think. So she wins a date also with Domenico.
Do strippers keep the moves in their asses?
If they're good, they do.
Okay.
That way no one can steal them from you.
Okay.
Well, by the end of the show, it's time to vote off three of the girls this week. So they're going to cut it down from 8 girls to 5.
Okay.
And 3 of the girls get booted. The girl who couldn't cook and want to make a boyfriend barf, Rebecca.
Sure.
She gone. One of the blondes, I can't remember which one she was, but she broke a statue in the house that Domenico liked.
Excellent.
In a drunken rampage. He didn't like that, so he gave her the boot. And Ashley is the grumpy, angry girl who doesn't like Taylor all that much. And she was very upset when she got kicked off. Usually when they get kicked off, they say goodbye to Domenico to give a hug or whatever.
Right.
She just took off, ran out the house. She had no time for him.
Ciao. I have nothing to say to that dude. It's his loss. Peace, home skillet. Like, I'm out.
Oh, no. She brought out the home skillet.
She did, yeah.
She's serious.
That is so his loss.
But, of course, Ashley couldn't just leave well enough alone. She stormed out of the house, but she had to come back. Because she has still some problems with Taylor, the girl she thought was a skinny-ass hoe.
So she left the house and then came back to attack Taylor?
Like an hour later.
Fantastic.
The show's off. Everybody's like getting ready for bed. What? She comes back, stop pounding on the door. She got some anger in her she needs to release. She wants to pick a fight with one of the other girls.
Excellent.
And please enjoy the following exchange.
Let me in, dude. I wish you could come down here right now, Taylor, so I can pick you up over my head and body slam you, dude, because you're...
The van is waiting.
You're anorexic, dude. Did you just try to spit on me? This is about to get up. Open this door right now, dude. She's about to get up, dude.
Kick rocks. No one likes your ass anyway. You're an Amazon.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She is a delicate young flower. Why would you want to spend the rest of your life with someone like that?
He's really missing out.
A feminine, beautiful, soft-spoken...
Spitting
trucker who just want to just beat people and body slam them and break down doors.
She's the real deal. He missed out.
Oh, I'm glad she's gone. I might ask her out myself.
Wow, really?
I could swing. Well, she's very manly anyway. Yeah. I can have her be my new man in my life.
All right.
Just wouldn't spit on her because that makes her angry.
Let us know how that goes.
I will.
Thank you, LaQuisha.
We're sorry. You missed first dial is 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067 is the number. You get on the air, you get a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of L.A., where right now the price for a single day, you get $2,008 the entire year, absolutely free.
You buy one day, you get the whole year free.
That's correct.
Oh, I would so just Jurassic Park my ass off if that was the case.
They got the new Simpsons thing, too, which is going to be pretty cool. So. Yeah. All right, let's begin with Mike in Monrovia. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good. What it do?
Well, hey, listen, I've got a problem with a bunch of lazy a-holes out there. Take down your Christmas lights.
Oh, you still got people in the neighborhood with Christmas lights?
Dude, we got 4 or 5 people in my neighborhood. One's for Santa, for God's sakes.
They're waiting until next year.
Take down the stinking lights. You put them up.
Dude, by the time it's March, you start thinking, it's going to take me a long time to take them down. Then it's going to be November. I'll just put them right back up.
8 months or so until I put them back up. Yeah.
It is so tacky.
We used to drive around Southern California in a van, in a black van with a hood over our heads and go take them down ourselves. But it's just too big a fight. Just can't do it.
It's a joke.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Do that on your own. Let us know how that goes.
I'll let you know.
Thank you.
Should pick it. Should protest in front of their homes.
Let's go.
Embarrass them.
Let's go to Jason in Whittier. Good morning, Jason.
What'd it do, Jason? Yeah, just calling about Big Brother. You guys haven't talked about it all year, and there were some hot girls this year.
I don't really watch the Big Brother.
I can't watch it anymore.
Jason, here's our stand on that, is that really hot chicks is never a good enough reason, really, to sit through an entire TV show.
Because there are really hot chicks elsewhere.
Like porn. Yeah, like you just rent porn and go to the good part and then just take care of business and be on your way. But to sit through an entire Big Brother episode just because there's a few hot chicks on it, I can't do it.
That was also one of those shows that just from the very beginning just missed me. I just thought it was boring and just took too long to get to the point.
So the 50th episode isn't going to get you then?
No. Yeah, they're in season 9 or whatever it is.
I don't know how that existed, but it's just not it's not my taste.
So we hear you. We just can't commit, Jason.
Yeah, thank you.
Enjoy.
Let's go to Rod Dog.
Rod Dog!
R-O-D-D-O-G, Rod Dog.
Okay.
From Huntington Beach. Good morning, Raw.
Hey,
Hey, what's happening, guys? Long time.
Long time.
What you do, fag nephews? You guys need to go back to the Midwest, Kevin and Beaner. Your garage DJs at best. I'm a hater, bro.
Right.
I'm P1 listener from HB. Scott, Lisa May.
Yeah.
Scott Farner. You need to go back down south with Scott and pick your scabs. Tommy Lee said it best. You guys are fags.
Okay.
HP.
All right. Good chatting with you, Rod.
All right, Rod Dog.
Wait.
He hung up already. Kids, don't do drugs. Okay? Because you might feel better, but you don't sound better.
Wow.
All right. Let's go to...
Not a good call. It's like one of those Rome rants where the callers have to go and they have to put like a 20-minute bit together.
Yeah, that was not good. All right, Robin in Burbank. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We are good. We're not as good as the last caller, Rod Dog, but we're good. What's
good.
Going on?
I have an idea for what people can do for St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
You guys last week didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah.
We got Leprechaun Midget dancing on the bar at Johnny's on York Boulevard in Highland Park.
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
Wow.
So come see the Dancing Leprechaun.
Are you open now?
The Leprechaun will be there from 10 to 11, but there are beer specials, $2 green beers, $4 black and tan.
10 to 11 tonight? Or this morning?
Tonight.
Okay.
Oh, screw that. I need something to do now, Robin. I need I need a way to celebrate now because I got a good buzz going, and I just don't want to go home lay down.
That shows us where our mind is, though, when she says 10 to 11 and we think a.m.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because you guys are asleep by then, but maybe you can stay out just to enjoy the midget.
Yeah. That's a lot of drinking between
now. I got to find a daytime bar, Robin. I'm sorry.
Cool. Maybe you can end up there.
Good crowd in the daytime bars, too, by the way.
Yes.
When you roll in and the bar is full of guys around 10 a.m., you find some fascinating.
A lot of hot chicks there.
Oh,
wait, no.
It's like Big Brother in there.
Eddie in San Fernando. Good morning.
Hey, well, what it do?
Hey,
Lisa May. Yummy.
What's going on?
Hey, I saw Saturday Night Live this weekend. Usually I don't watch it. Well, I used to watch it because I was a big fan, but lately it sucks.
Yeah.
And so Jonah Hill was in it. That's the only reason I wanted to see it.
I think I would watch if I would have known
Jonah Hill from Superbad, right?
Yeah. So,
he's funny.
Yeah, but yeah. He couldn't save the show.
Not so good anyway, huh?
I mean, it was uncomfortable to watch kind of deal, you know? There was this one part was funny when he made out with an old guy. He was supposed to be somebody's dad or something.
Okay.
But other than that, I mean, wow.
The problem with Saturday Night Live to me is it should be a half-hour show and it's an hour and a half. So when they get a skit, they got to go 20 minutes on it or something like that.
Yeah, that really is a problem.
It's crazy.
The writing on the show has just really gone downhill.
Did you see the newest Entertainment Weekly? The funniest political satirist or whatever in the world, Saturday Night Live, is like, come on. Are they kidding?
That's insane.
Yeah. That's not good. All right, let's go to Isaac in Pomona. Good morning, Isaac.
Morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hi, Isaac.
Man, Rachel Ray is such a liar.
Rachel Ray is a liar.
Yeah, she is a liar.
Okay.
You guys are right about her. I tried to make one of her meals. It's 30 minutes. It took me like an hour.
Okay.
Maybe you're not the chef you think you are.
No, actually, I am a good chef.
You should sue.
I should.
Yes. Bring her down.
You guys be my witnesses in court.
Omar was very excited earlier this morning that he had brought Rachel Ray down because her show was canceled. Ralph came in a second ago and told us it was going to be canceled in 2 years when her contract
was up. Her deal is up in 2010, and they're talking about not renewing her contract.
Oh, that's very different.
Yeah, that's not the same.
Not at all.
He didn't really end her, unfortunately.
Damn.
That's a shame.
He's got to try harder.
All right. Thank you to Bad Religion for coming in today. They were fantastic, as usual. They're
great
always
live.
Good. They played a couple of songs that they've never played live before, like Infected. They played that acoustic, which was very cool.
And Dancing Queen, which surprised
Dancing
me.
Queen
I
was
a surprise. Dancing Queen. I didn't expect that.
Don't forget, June 3rd, they got the deluxe CD of New Maps of Hell with 7 new acoustic tracks, including Sorrow, which they were telling me afterwards is a really, they think it's a fantastic version of that song. So
that's great.
That's going to be exciting. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, Hangover Cures.
Oh, just in time.
Yep. Might come in handy after this evening's festivities.
It is fascinating, the home cures that people have come up with through the years, passed down through the family or whatever. It's just bizarre.
More booze is the only thing that's ever worked for me.
More booze is the answer.
The only thing that's ever worked.
Yeah. K-Fed on Broadway. Tell you about that tomorrow. We're going to try and talk to Doto tomorrow and ask him about the we have many questions for Doto.
To say the least.
If you haven't seen or heard the Cribs, you have to go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, and watch that. Psycho Mike went over to try and find the gun. And it didn't go well. The eyes have it. another fantastic contest here on K-Rock. 106.7 free songs from on iTunes from K-Rock. That's coming up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And the Bravery will be here with live music.
Oh, wow.
Got another live band tomorrow. And Seth Green also talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer reunion.
That's going to be a great, great event.
Happening at the Paley Center TV Festival. So that's coming up. Kat Corbett, I haven't seen her yet. We did talk to her on Friday.
She's back from Austin, right?
She was laughing pretty hard.
I had a great time in Austin. It was amazing. And there were some great bands at South by Southwest, and I really had a great time. It was great.
I think she's back.
I'm here.
Hey, she's here.
She's here.
Hi,
she's here, and she's never sounded better.
Wow. She had the hat pulled down low. She's hurting. She was at South by Southwest. She's got 40 minutes nonstop, including Flogging Molly, which makes sense. We got some Vampire Weekend. We got some Red Hot Chili Peppers. And we got some Muse coming up. 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock now.